Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See ya, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
On today's Part of My Take, our good friend Ryan Whitney in studio. We also finish the show. We start the show with games from tonight. Then we get into Celtics and what happened in the Warriors game, some playoff hockey, hot seat, cool throne, and a special edition of FAQs. Billy's eating lunch meat right now. I don't know what he's doing. What's the lunch meat, Billy? Go ahead for the intro.
I got hungry late night, so instead of like eating cookies, I got hard salami with two slices of Colby Jack cheese. They make a little sandwich.
So there you go. So there you go. That's good. That proves that we're doing this late for the people.
It's like the and guess down what? From KFC.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Visible.com/pod. Check it out now for single line wireless for as low as $25 a month. Today is Wednesday, May 11th, and I don't even know where we want to start. The Sixers are dead again?
Yeah, Sixers are still dead. Here's a fun stat. I looked this one up because I get sick of hearing people say that 70% of the time, the team that wins game five in an NBA series wins the series. While that's true, we like to get like elbow deep in the numbers on Pardon My Take. And if you look at it, that is a correct stat, but the more important stat is 83% of the time that a series is tied 2-2, that winner of game five goes on to win the series. And honestly, like I would bet that both of these teams that won tonight are probably going to win game six.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like I could see the Sixers maybe rallying at home, but the Suns and I think they're down at half, or maybe it was 1 point game at half. Then they just went nuclear on the Mavs in the third quarter, 33-14. I thought we were going to get a Chris Paul narrative because he wasn't dominant Chris Paul and we're going to be able to dunk on everyone. We're going to have to wait for that. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, it feels like the Sixers and both the Mavs got pushed around a little bit, beaten a mini whomping inside of a game. And game six is going to be tough for them to rebound.
Yeah, I would say that if both of these teams had won tonight, if the Heat and the Suns win their game six convincingly, I'll call that a gentleman's whomp. I think that like the series, like, yes, the other teams have won a couple games, but never once did I feel like the Sixers or the Mavericks like had the ability to win the series. Obviously with the Sixers, it was for different reasons, mostly injury related, but we still can stick with the Chris Paul thing, because if you look at the way he played tonight, here's what we can do. We can say that's not going to cut the next round.
Yes. I like that. Yeah, because, I mean, there's 6 minutes left in the game. He had 4 points, 9 assists, which is obviously very good, but that's not going to cut it.
Not going to cut it. Listen,
not going to cut
it. You're going to play a big boy team in the next round, okay? And this performance, it's not going to cut it.
It wasn't the best night of NBA basketball when the most exciting thing was Chuck and Kenny going to the video board, which I don't know which team you guys are on. LeBron said Chuck won, then Skip went over the top, which was great. Skip Bayless, he was like, LeBron, you're wrong. Kenny won. Like, disagree. Skip is so committed to it, he disagrees with LeBron's take of who won.
Wait a second. So he responded to LeBron. And LeBron saying
he just subtweeted him.
Exactly. So he subtweeted him. Now that's interesting because I think that Skip Bayless may have just given himself up there. I just realized this.
Yeah.
Skip Bayless doesn't follow anyone on Twitter.
Oh no.
Zero people on Twitter.
No.
He's got burners. No. This is proof. Skip Bayless PFT. Has burners.
I have bad news. They showed LeBron's tweet on the TNT show.
Fuck. I thought I was cracking open.
I know. I wanted look at my you face, to be right.
Like I realized it, and I was like, I've got a mission now for the next like 3 weeks, which would be to find Skip Bayless's burners and see what the takes that he puts out on the burner, the ones that like he doesn't think are ready for prime time yet, the ones that he's testing out. I still think he might have burners.
I
still think he might.
I just didn't want. I wanted you to be right, but I also don't want you to get dunked on for being wrong in this respect. That they did. They showed LeBron's tweet on the Jumbotron, chuckled about it, all blah, 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 which is what LeBron wanted in the first place. Also, listen, LeBron's tweets were better than the games tonight. So people are like, hey, all you do is mention LeBron. Sorry, LeBron won the MVP. LeBron won my baby Bron of tonight.
He won my sixth man of the night tonight. The guys, here's how it goes. It goes, the guys that are on the desk at TNT, then Skip Bayless, then LeBron, six.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Like, what do you want us to do? You want us to break down two blowouts? Like I think Kenny still kind of had him. Actually, I think it was it was actually a tie. I'm going to say that. I really do think it was a tie.
Yeah. That even is worse, that the most exciting part of the night was a tie video board. The only other thing I was thinking when I was watching this Suns game is I think Ayton might be the one guy in the league right now where he can. When I watch him play, I'm like, why doesn't he always just play like this?
Yeah.
It feels like he should be able to dominate any game that he's in.
Well, he looks incredible or looks like he's never touched a basketball type of guy. Like some games he'll shoot and you'd be like, what was that? Like he'll miss the rim and the backboard.
I think in honor of tonight's just awful games, we should award the second weekly Billy Football game ball of the night.
Yes.
From somebody who probably didn't watch it. Actually, how about Billy, you and Jake award a co-game ball. And if you guys both select the same person on the count of three, then that person wins it. And if they don't, then nobody wins the game ball.
Okay.
And hockey hockey wins the game ball for the night.
I like this. By the way, just before you guys think about it, I've lost my voice again. I said I wasn't going to lose my voice for a month. It actually gets better as the show goes on because we go back in time. This one I can't explain. I just haven't been sleeping. It wasn't yelling. I've literally slept like 4 hours every night for the last 5 nights, but I'm going to sleep tonight. So I apologize to everyone. You guys ready?
Is it basketball only?
No.
Just who won the night?
No. Jake's going to say.
I feel like Billy, if that's my kind of hint. I'm not going to spoil it, but
yeah,
like,
I also
I think we can say the same person.
Oh, I know. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Let's go. 3, 2, 1, Aaron Judge.
Yes.
Six, he's five. Pretty much like eight in size.
Yeah. Yeah. He, what did he even do? I didn't even see.
Just he had a walk-off through on Homer.
I mean, it was kind of sick. He was a fucking Liam Lex moonshots. I obviously hate the Yankees, but
second deck.
It was a moonshot.
Did Sterling realize that it was a home run?
Yeah. So if you saw my tweet, he didn't do anything incorrect, but he was unusually not excited about it.
Oh,
so I think cautious. I
put on the brake.
He's seen very ghosts. Cautious. Yeah.
But hey, he didn't mess up. That's what we're going to focus on.
Oh, the other NBA game ball of the night should go to the rat that showed up at the Nets Mats game because it allowed everybody on Twitter to make the same joke at the same time, depending on what party you voted for. in DC. So some people are a rat on the field. I didn't know that Biden was there. And then other people are like, a rat on the field. I didn't know that McConnell was there. It was great. It was just seeing the timeline all sync up like that to make the exact same joke just based on the preferences. That's what Twitter was made for. That's why Al Gore invented the internet.
Yeah, some good old political humor to bring everyone back together. I did a bad job of start. Jake, do you want to talk about your heat at all? Except that was, I think, the definition of heat culture, by the way. Seven guys, double digits. Everyone. Yes.
Seven guys, double digits. Jimmy Butler has shown up in pretty much every single playoff game this postseason so far. Like, obviously, the two games in Philly were not ideal, but he still played well. Remember that iconic bubble photo of him just looking gassed? Like, I've seen Heat Twitter people just posting that after every game because that's what he's been doing for this team. And when other guys show up, and like I said last show, that weird stat about them not hitting threes, they started to fall tonight.
And then what I tell you, Jake, make or miss
Duncan,
league.
Duncan Robinson. One of 3 4 points. But hey, that's 1 of 3 4 points more than he's had this whole postseason. They gave him a shot.
That's a fact. Make or miss league.
Yeah. So do you want my real ball tonight?
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Plot twist.
Seth Jarvis had an amazing dominating performance against the Bruins, blew him out. And now Carolina leads the series 3-2.
Oh, who is shit. Seth Jarvis?
Yeah, well, he's the guy who just put a couple smackaroos on those Bruins.
What position does he play?
He's a center.
Billy texted the group, and he's like, I'm going to maybe go to this Chicklet stream. I'm going to try to get more into hockey. Like, what?
I like that. No, it's yeah. like if you're, but if it was you're dating so out of your nowhere. Girl and she knows that sports is a big part of your life, and maybe she didn't grow up a sports fan. She's like, let's watch SportsCenter together.
And then she's basically like, ooh. Yeah, it's basically a preview. Great interview with Ryan Whitney. Billy got embarrassed at the end of the interview, so he's like, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to start watching hockey. So next time Biz or Whitney comes in, I have a question for them.
He's taking steps to self-improvement. I appreciate that. Oh, the one other thing that I had from tonight's game, the ref that stares into the camera on the replay reviews. Yep. Can we get literally any other ref on the court to be in charge of looking at the camera and announcing that? He just creeps me out. He creeps me the fuck out. Like, just don't stare directly into the camera, because I always feel like he's about to be activated by crypto. Like, his eyes are going to turn bright red.
It's also
into like demon time.
Yeah, it's also the weirdest angle. It's the weirdest angle. Like, it's because it's below them, and that's just a bad angle to begin with. I agree. It creeps me out.
And he like turns his body to the side, but he keeps staring. Like, it's like he's doing blue steel.
Yeah,
turning away. Bubba, that should be the next demon time, or one of the next demon times. It should be that ref as he's announcing it, like a flagrant two.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the ref kicking someone out of the game. Yeah. Like when they kick Draymond out.
Yeah.
And he announces it and the crowd goes crazy.
I'll put a word in.
All right. Beautiful. Beautiful. Hank, anything about your Bruins?
No, I watched tonight, so they got smoked.
Okay. Nice. And then the Leafs.
I was all jazzed up, like ready to go. I was believing in Boston Bruin culture, and they were just nowhere to be found.
Yeah. And then the Leafs are back, which means that's where they're perfectly set up to lose. And I mean, we might have the game of the year, the Lightning, in game six.
To reverse jinx it?
Well, no, if this streak continues where they haven't lost back-to-back games, like, right?
Yeah, but I was thinking that you game of the century, that reverse jinxes it. And then the Maple Leafs win.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. We got to figure that out. But
I'm down.
Anything else we have? Yeah,
I just think I feel bad for Leafs fans, even though they won tonight, because we've gotten a taste of what it's like to root for the Maple Leafs in the last week of the playoffs. And it can't be easy. It's one of those things, like, has your family ever been like, you know, you're growing up, oh, try this, you'll like it, I promise. And then you take a bite and you're like, you know what? Just not for me.
Yeah.
Being a Leafs fan, I can tell instantly, like, why does anybody in Toronto do this to themselves? You can just not. Even though they won, again, it was an electric game, electric third period. But this is just something like, that's a hard opt out for me.
What I've learned about Leafs fans being...
You've come so far since 2018, PFD.
What do you mean?
Before the Caps won.
That's true. But when the Caps would lose, they would lose like in just dominant fact. They would get dominated. They would get shit pumped.
Right,
big games after having all the expectations, they wouldn't like drop a 3-1 series. They wouldn't be in control of the series. It would just be frustrating. You'd hang on to the very end, and then the Penguins would come onto your home ice and beat you like 7-0.
The Leaf fans are, as I count myself as one these last week, this last week and a half with my futures, but the Leaf fans, I've noticed it's this very, it's this bipolar-esque confidence and fear of doom at all times that can't be good for your emotions. Like when they were down 2-0 tonight, it was just like, this is same old Leafs. We suck. We suck. We suck. Then they got the lead 3-2 and it's like, we're back. And then they like, it's just a constant, like, I think the Leafs are good, but I also expect the worst to happen at all times. It's very bizarre because most teams, it's either you expect the worst to happen or you have that confidence, not both at the exact same time.
So I feel like with the Leafs, they don't really expect the worst to happen in the moment. But after the fact, they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe we did this again. It's almost like if you were to ask a Leafs fan in the offseason what's going to happen, they'll probably say that. They'll probably say, like, I think we got a great team, but, you know, it's the Leafs. But in the moment, in the middle of a playoff series, it seems to me like they're very optimistic. Like in the games, they're like, this is the team, this is the team. And then they always get surprised by it. They always get Lucy pulling the football on Charlie Brown.
Yeah. It's a wild time. And we're going to talk more about that with Ryan Whitney. So we got coming up, we got Celtics, Bucks, we've got Warriors, we got more hockey talk, Hank getting tweeted by Tom Brady, Ryan Whitney, FAQs. Let's kick it to ourselves back in the studio.
PFT, do you have something going on tonight?
Oh yeah, Bubba. Thank you. The Ghost of Manhattan is taking to the skies tonight. I'll announce it right here. I've got a very important mission. I was doing this on Twitch the last couple of weeks. I hunted Putin last week on my flight simulator. Tonight, Wednesday night, I'm going after Coney. I'm taking Coney out.
Recruiting trip?
We've got Coney. Well, he's got his child soldiers. My mission is going to be to try to kill Coney while killing as few of his infant soldiers as possible. And then if all goes well, I will then take them over like Daenerys Targaryen, and they will become my army of child soldiers.
Well, good luck. We're rooting for you.
After the Caps game, I'll be on Twitch.
Okay, kick it to ourselves back in studio.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, rest of the show, let's get into it. So Bucks-Celtics, game four, poked the bear. And unfortunately for the Bucks, the bear actually was Al Horford. So everyone thought, like, don't wake up Giannis, he'll go nuclear. Turns out that Giannis poked Al Horford. We saw the clip. Al Horford's sister actually tweeted it being like, that's when I knew the Bucks were fucked. Al Horford just doing the head nod like, yup, yup, you'll see. And we get Al Horford with his greatest playoff performance ever, 30 points, absolutely dominating, doing it at all too. Threes, dunks.
Defense.
Defense, like post moves. And now we got a 2-2 series. A great series, by the way. Just a great, great series.
Unbelievable game. Seemed like one that they were going to lose, one that was slipping away. Jalen and Jason weren't playing, you know, their A game, and thank God Al was playing his A game and put the team on his back. Like, he was taking big shots. He was making big shots. He was the go-to guy, and he just had an unbelievable performance. He fucking punched Giannis in the face.
With his elbow,
That was incredible.
Jason Tatum didn't have a great game, but he also had one of the coolest shots ever where he was like, maybe 6 inches off the ground, completely vertical or horizontal, and did like a finger roll from seriously like 1 foot off the ground. But that was a hell of an answer by the Celtics, and now we got a 3-game series, baby.
Home court back on.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Jason Tatum had like he had a very weird game. He was like really good in spurts and then really confusing in other spurts. It was like all over the map.
Passive.
He ended up having like a statistically great game. If you just look at the numbers, but every time I looked over and watched him play, the numbers kept going up, but I was like, I don't recall him ever dominating or ever being like a total scoring threat.
I think it's one of those things where he probably feels a lot of pressure to be the guy. And then when Al Horford became the guy, that helped like relax Jason Tatum. And he just knew that he had to get some possessions and score a couple points. But like, Al Horford taking that role last night was huge, and that was the reason they won.
That was probably the quietest 30 points that I've ever seen.
You're absolutely right, PFT, because it was not. If you look at his stats, you're like, oh, he had a good game. But if you were watching the game, there were moments in the game where you're like, why is Jason Tatum not forcing it here? Why is he not, like, he's the best player the Celtics have. Why is he not taking over? And Al Horford did. And you're right. It kind of unlocked Jason Tatum. Maybe Al Horford's the alpha.
Al Horford, he's Batman. Jason Tatum's Robin. Jalen Brown, the Joker. I don't know.
Fast Pace P, what is his name, nickname?
Fast PP.
Fast PP is Alfred. Catwoman.
Yeah.
Can't shoot on the road.
Who's like the most dominant old-looking guy in the NBA right now? Because Al Horford, in that performance last night, he's definitely up there.
I was going to say Alex Caruso.
Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
He looks kind of old. PJ Tucker is a really old-looking guy. Every time I see PJ Tucker play, I'm like, this dude, if an old dude comes out there wearing like a T-shirt underneath his jersey, you know he's just out there to foul the fuck out of
him. Yeah, yeah. It was crazy that Al Horford's only 35. For some reason, because those Florida Gator teams were so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Joakim's, you know, retired. Corey Brewer, I don't even know when he retired. It was a long time ago. But Al Horford is, you know, out there dominating. It was crazy to see.
Philly almost ruined his career.
Well, Philly fans,
they did.
They still hate that contract because they're like, didn't they pay Al Horford instead of Jimmy Butler?
I think it was something like that, where it was like a combination. Yes. So,
but they went, he got benched by Oklahoma City basically for playing too well when they were trying to rebuild, and people thought that he was getting benched because he was bad. But it was more like, we don't want to win games. We don't want you to try hard. Like, we're just going to put you on the bench and let the young guys play. But yeah, he's back in the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So series on.
Series on. 7 games still?
I got 6. Actually, no, 7.
Do you, in your hot seat, Cools Rone, do you have anything that was tweeted at you last night, or you want to talk about it now?
We can talk about it now because I didn't really watch the first half at all. Like,
take us through the mind of Hank last night. If you missed it, Edelman and Tom Brady both tweeted in support of Hank, which was...
Well, we didn't really talk about it on the show. Obviously, there's a lot of drama going on with my ex-girlfriend dating someone else in the office. You know, it's not... I've known about it for a while. Like, I'm not as upset about it as a lot of people on the internet were. It was, like, trending. There was everyone tweeting about it, talking about it all day yesterday. You guys have my back, which I appreciate. A lot of people reached out to show their support, which I appreciate. But not in a way that's like, I need the support, like I'm down bad. I was fine.
But it's cool to see how loved you are.
It is. Like, that's where it's like, you know, I'm happy it happened, kind of, because it's like, yeah, you get, you know, the people that you care about showing their support for you. And then on top of it, if it was like a trade machine where it's like, you know, on one side, you have to deal with your ex-girlfriend for 4 years dating Marty Mush. But on the flip side, you get Julian Edelman and your hero showing you unconditional support and love, like I'm clicking trade every time. So it was like, there was a lot of people talking about it. It was like Team Hank was the thing that was on Twitter. Julian Edelman tweeted Team Hank, and then like 5 minutes later, Tom Brady tweeted cosign hashtag defend the wall, which was a reference to getting arrested for him. And yeah, I was like, I was truly like floating. Like, yeah. My heart was beating like out of my chest. I didn't watch a second of the Celtics first half. Like, I was just like on a different planet. Just, you know, the emotions took over me. It was somehow in a situation that wasn't ideal, that I didn't really want to happen. Like, it ended up being one of the greatest nights of my life.
I have to assume that all is forgiven with Tom Brady now, with the like 4 days. Like, is he going to acknowledge Boston sports fans?
Yes.
He's essentially your biggest fan.
Yeah.
The question is, like, are you a bigger fan of Tom Brady, or is Tom Brady a bigger fan of Hank Lockwood?
I don't know. I think the moral of this whole situation is like loyalty, and we stuck by Tom when he was in a tough spot, and he's paying it back by sticking by me when I'm in a tough spot. And that, you know, same with you guys and all the support you show me. Like, loyalty is an important thing, and it means the world. You know?
It is the thing.
Yeah.
I just told Bubba before he came in here, I would take a bullet for you.
Yeah.
I would get shot for you. Not in my head or my chest, but like almost any other body part.
No, I mean,
either leg, feet.
Not to get sappy, but like loyalty to the people you're closest with means everything to me. And so showing it and getting it shown back it's everything.
I also think it was just so one of those things where it's like, we're in a simulation. This is so preposterous. This is so funny, where it's like, that was kind of my... it was just a good kind of like bow on the whole thing where it's like,
yeah,
yeah, it's dramatic. Yeah, people are interested, but it's like, it's not that serious. Like, we can kind of joke about it and like just kind of move on. Like, I think there's obviously when things get heightened to this level, like the psychos come out and like people just start, you know, taking it over the line. And it's like, from my perspective, it's like I said, if you could have told me this even when we were dating that this was a possibility, like I might have dumped her. Yeah, no, seriously. Like, I think like that it would have like, you know, 4 years is 4 years, but like Tom Brady's been my hero for 20.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I have better memories, better, you know, more love. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like
we're perspective. All about yeah, yeah, we're all about perspective on the podcast this week.
Yes,
I like that.
Hey. It was an incredible moment. Yeah, you are very, very much loved. And now Tom Brady, kid, did you hit him up for maybe some of that sweet money he's getting? Because what was the final tally for
10 years, $375 million, according to the New York Post.
Holy, he deserves it all.
Fuck.
He deserves,
yeah,
the world.
I mean,
how much of that, like, you kind of, your brand boosted him up? They're like, wow, yeah. Tom Brady. Okay, we were going to give him like 9 years and $350 million. Let's tack that 10th on, yeah, there. He's Team Hank.
It is crazy that Fox is like, hey, whenever he's ready, but. It's the only move they had. It was that or Peyton Manning. Like, Fox loses Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Tom Brady is the guy. I think he's going to be great.
How funny would it be if he sucked, though? If he went up there and he was just, like, stumbling over his words.
He's going to be great.
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah.
I was thinking about it. Like, what if he was a Jason Witten? But then I remember that Tom Brady is such a competitive psycho that he will, like, just spend all his time studying tape.
He's going to do tapes.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's going to practice. I'm sure he'll be very, very good because there's no way that Tom Brady wants to go in the booth and have everyone clown his ass.
I think that Peyton Manning as an individual is going to be better than Tom Brady, but Tom Brady's going to have a much better staff around him. And so on a whole, his broadcast will be much, much better, known as a dynasty.
Well,
afterwards.
And Peyton's also, his broadcast is not as difficult.
Yeah.
Because it's a side view that you can tune into that doesn't have to, like, he doesn't have to carry a blowout the same way.
I hope that the Manning cast goes off ESPN and they actually go to Fox so that people can opt in, like, choose. Oh. We can get that debate going, like, continue it for the next 10 years.
Yes.
Peyton or Tom.
Yes, yes. The other NBA game, we'll talk about hockey in a second, but the other NBA game, I don't know about you guys, but I watched the first half. The Warriors looked terrible. It was very funny that Steph hit his 500th playoff three in a half where I think they made like two out of like 20 or something crazy. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to try to get some rest because I know that the Warriors like crazy run is going to happen eventually. It's just, I don't really want to wait up for it. I waited up actually all the way through, like halfway through the third quarter, still hadn't come.
Yeah.
Went to sleep, woke up, looked at the score, and was like, yep, that's exactly what I expected. They won the game.
Yep, at the very, very end.
Yeah.
It was like the last 10 minutes of the game. That's when the Warriors became the Warriors.
And they scored 39 points in the fourth quarter.
And Mike Brown had to fill in for Steve Kerr,
yep,
who was out in health and safety protocols. If I'm Mike Brown, I would become like the first coach ever to hold out in training camp as a head coach next year for the Kings to ask for a raise.
Yeah.
Like, you've proven you probably deserve more money than the Kings are throwing at you right now.
He's 1-0 in the playoffs.
He's
won more playoff games than the Kings this year. He's won more playoff games than this year as a head coach than the Kings have won in like a decade.
Probably since like 2008,
yeah,
would be my guess for that stat. But yeah, the Warriors just, I don't think that they can shoot any worse than they did for the most part last night.
Dude,
they're just, well, also Ja Morant was out.
Well, yeah.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah, but I have a Warriors future. I'm rooting for them. I'm very nervous because Klay Thompson, like, he can have a couple games where he looks kind of like old Klay, and then he has games where it's like, has this guy played basketball before? Both offensive and defensively. I obviously it's injury and coming back, but there were a couple moments where I was like, whoa, Klay just keeps missing, and he's done it a few times in these playoffs where it's like he just keeps missing shots that old Klay Thompson never missed.
You know the stat that we were talking about a couple years ago with James Harden and how he demonstrably plays worse in cities that have high strip club populations?
Yep.
I wonder if that's the same thing for Klay Thompson and places that have dispensaries. Like, or states that have marijuana. Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's probably true.
I would imagine. Yeah.
But that series feels like it's over, especially without John Morant, which sucks because he was playing so well. I think he was averaging 38 points a game.
All time, you guys weren't what? There was all time bad shot at the end of the game by Jaren Jackson Jr. Like,
it was great defense.
But they didn't have to shoot it. He had three people around him, and there was like 17 seconds left. It was a clear sign of like your star player that usually takes games at the end of take shots at the end of games is not playing.
Not there. Well, I think it was like Jaren Jackson was so pumped up because he's like, this is the Jaren Jackson game where I get to be myself. I get to show what I can do at the end of a game. And so he like he had a rush of blood to the head, and he's not used to closing out games in that situation. So he's like, you know what? I've kind of been on fire in terms of, you know, like on a scale of how good Jaren Jackson can be. I'm the most good that I've ever been in a game. So let's just go for it. Let's just put it up because everything's going in.
And more than that, he was probably just pumped to be in the game and not fouled out at that point. Because he's been he actually hasn't done it in this Warriors series, but remember the Timberwolves series?
Yeah.
He was just fouling out in like 20 minutes every night.
Also, I love what Draymond's doing with his podcast where he goes into the locker room. He essentially records in the building. I think he might actually be in the building before the game's over. So you get the emotional Draymond. You get like 50% of on the court Draymond, whereas like most players, if they do a podcast, I don't know, I haven't listened to too much of Duncan Robinson's recently, but he's probably not like flipping out about people
right
after the game and like screaming about like what just happened in the game. Draymond still has that emotion in him when he records, which is like, that's actually like when we do a podcast right after Big Cat suffers a horrible, horrible loss.
Yeah, you can hear it.
And you can hear it in the voice. And that, like, I love hearing Draymond. Like, I don't want to hear like analytical Draymond. I want to hear Draymond like trying to get into fights on his podcast.
Yeah, it's raw. It's real.
It's like a press conference on steroids.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
It's a press conference where he gets asked himself the question.
Now, is it bad for journalism, though,
that
Draymond's saving the real stuff, keeping it from the print, and like the hardworking reporters who are on deadline aren't getting the real stuff, and he's saving it for his own podcast?
It's worth considering.
Maybe that's the future that every
it could be.
Every locker room afterwards, instead of having to meet the press, you literally just have to go live on Periscope for 10 minutes and answer questions in the chat.
Yeah.
That would be
That'd
funny.
Be cool. Yeah.
I like that.
Next thing you know, we got Steph Curry answering like tits or ass or like in and out or five guys.
Jake, I'm just curious from your perspective as a play-by-play guy, Tom Brady coming into the booth, is that going to be intimidating for the play-by-play guys that
Kevin
are working
Burkhart,
for
Kevin Burkhart, who's filling the shoes of Joe Buck.
Do you like him?
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I walked right into that one. They'll definitely do a bunch of practice broadcasts, and by the time week one of whatever three seasons, it's gonna feel like they've been together forever.
Yeah,
I want to know what simulated games they're gonna do. They gotta pick some crazy ones.
Throw everything at them. Full YouTube games is what I used to do in college.
Kevin Burkhart. I mean, Tom Brady is such a psycho competitor. I wouldn't be shocked if he's like, Kevin Burkhart, you have to live in my house for a month.
Yeah,
like you have to do everything with
me. Put you in the Antonio Brown suite.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta get Alex Guerrero's hands
on
you.
Cool for him.
You know what I really want to hear? Actually, they should. Here's what Fox should do if they're smart. They should record all the simulated games that they're doing and have Tom Brady call a game where Tom Brady's playing in it. They should do the NFC. Was it the NFC Championship game or the one against the Rams in the playoffs? Divisional game against the Rams in the playoffs, and have Tom Brady analyze Tom Brady as he's playing.
Or do the Thursday Night Football against the Bears where he didn't realize it was fourth down.
That would be smart.
Just seeing him like explain what was happening.
And then drop that as like a either a teaser where you could watch like the week before the regular season started just to get yourself in like football's back mode. Or just put pay-per-view.
Well, that's a good point, Big Cat, because there's going to come a time where he has to criticize a friend.
Yeah.
So that would be a good test.
So, Tom Brady, we know you're listening. What up, Jules? We know you're listening, too. Just do a little teaser.
Love you, Jules.
For us on Twitter, where you're basically announcing that moment and be like, this fucking idiot doesn't realize it's not fourth down anymore.
You got to be better than that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I like this. All right, hockey. We're going to get into a lot of hockey with Ryan Whitney. But the tit bet is officially on.
Yeah, emotions are still raw right now. You'll hear it a little bit with me and Whit. I told Whit we met up after we did the podcast. I was mad at him last night, but that's just, you know.
Why?
Fog of war. Because
we talked about it.
We talked about it. You'll have to hear it. Good tease, though, Hank. Mm-hmm. You'll have to hear it in the interview.
It's bombs will fly.
Yeah.
What would the YouTube title be?
Ryan Whitney and PFT. At each other's throats.
Yeah. Ryan Whitney.
Both your faces are super red.
Yeah, Ryan Whitney.
Steam coming out of your ears.
And PFT fireworks. Big Cat gives Billy Football a Tesla.
PFT congrats, threatens Billy. To. Oh, you know what? I did threaten to kick him off the interview last night. You could do PFT threatens to expel Ryan Whitney from part of my take.
Nice.
And ban him for life.
Yes. So, and do the Tesla thing because just David Dobrik always plays.
Yeah. So Whit and I got into it last night. It was all just like we were watching the stream. I'm invested when I watch Capitals games, way more so. If you ever see me watch like a Commanders game, I have like a little bit of detachment from it because I have no expectations like ever, and I can laugh at it. With the Capitals, it's one team that I've always cared about and actually like felt the impact of a game as it's happening. I get stressed out, so I got mad at Witt because Witt was betting against the Caps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I went to a dark place last night because we were going to win the game. We were up by one goal with 2 minutes left. Goalie was pulled, and I was just, in my mind, it was 3-1 already.
Yeah.
I counted it as a win.
That's fair.
That's, yeah, but it's not because we played kind of like ass last night. I think we got like 16 shots. It was just, it was not great. I think we had 5 power plays and got 4 shots total. I don't think that's good.
You got to just start yelling, shoot the puck.
Shoot the puck. We need to shoot more. That's the thing, is like we used to shoot all the time. We don't shoot that much anymore. But yeah, now the tit bet's back on. So Jake and I will be in the barn.
Yes, Jake, are you ready?
On Friday.
That'll be fun.
In DC.
So we got to get the fake. We got to figure out what we're going to do with the fake tits.
Right.
So it'll be the bet is, if you miss Monday's show, PFT and Jake are going to try. We're going to try to get him on the glass. So behind the net.
Shout or
behind
out game
the,
time.
Behind the bench. Shout out Game Time. Go download the Game Time app. And I think you guys should, we should figure out what the tits are. If the team that's losing, that person has to do it. Like, so if the
until
game
the lead changes, or if they tie it back up.
Tie means you can stop, but if it's like the Panthers score 1 minute into the game, PFT puts on the tits.
Until
it's tied.
Team scores. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be, we'll bring a bra too.
Actually, it'll I think tasteful. It should be, I think you should have to keep it on for a tie until a lead changes. So if the, like, say the Capitals go up 1-0, if the Panthers go 1-1, you have to keep it on until the Panthers are up 2-1.
Oof.
I like it.
I'll take that.
That's a big change for 1-0.
Well, that's because here's the only reason I'm saying that is I don't know how many times we'll have a shot on you guys.
So
we
want
to maximize that. Right.
So I'm actually seeing like my worst nightmare come to fruition in front of me, because the way that this is all potentially going to play out is, you know, we got game 5. Down in, what's the
Sunrise.
Name of the city that you play in? Sunrise.
Sunrise,
in Sunrise.
Mall.
Broward.
It's a strip mall. Yeah,
Sawgrass Mills. Yep.
You get your nails done there.
City.
Yep. Get your nails done there. Get a pliable. So they're going to win. I've already.
Ants.
Yeah, I've already convinced myself that the Panthers are going to win in game 5. And it's going to be 3-2. It's going to go back to D.C. And then Jake is going to win in my face, because that's what Jake does. And then he's going to give me the, like, firmest handshake ever and say congrats on a great series.
Well,
right,
we
afterwards.
Did say we have to do the handshake line, yeah, Jake, after regardless.
Duh.
Jake and I are at each other's throats right now. But I will do a handshake line with him regardless of the outcome of the series.
Yeah.
It's the
We're
hockey
not really
way.
At each other's throats.
As much as anyone can be at Jake's throat, I'm at his throat, which means I'm not like holding doors for him.
The other games, Penguins just dominated the Rangers. Again, we're going to get to all of it. I don't know what else. I mean, the Avalanche look like the best team in the world right now. It does. It is a stark contrast when you see every series is competitive and then they just took care of business, swept the Predators.
Yeah, I'm just upset with the Rangers because I was mostly just looking forward to the narrative of, like, they can win a cup now that Henry Lundqvist is gone.
I know.
And he was holding them back. That was going to be a fun thing that we could all talk about. And
well,
because
it's
that
just
would
a
really,
year early.
That would really piss off Rangers fans too. but they look real, real bad. They just, like, I don't know. I don't know how to judge effort when I'm watching hockey, because I've never really played hockey at any sort of level whatsoever. And they all look like they're trying hard all the time out there. But it seemed like the Penguins had a level of effort that the Rangers weren't even approaching.
Yeah, they
night.
Were trying harder.
They were trying harder.
Yes.
They skated harder.
Yes, yes. I agree with that. All right, should we do Hot Seat, Cool Throne? Then we got Ryan Whitney in studio for like an hour. We're going to talk some hockey, and then we will.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hot Seat, Cool Throne. Hank.
My hot seat, I was going to talk about Tom. We talked about that. I will go with...
Your good friend, Tom Brady.
My good
you
friend, yeah, yeah. My confidant.
Your teammate.
Yeah. Brother. Brother in arms. Brady 4. Defend the wall.
Yeah.
Some things.
He's part... Tom Brady would go to jail for you?
Yeah, I do.
I actually think co-signed. Maybe.
He co-signed me. The iPod.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking shit about Apple products last week. This is probably the greatest Apple product ever invented, but they announced today that... they're discontinuing the iPod. Damn. Not sure why.
It's the end of an era.
Yeah.
I think you know what
they were great.
I think
they were.
I think they were selling like virtually no iPods these days because nobody buys an iPod. But I think
I love the iPods.
I think they just announced that they were going to discontinue them so that people would go out and buy them, knowing like, hey, this is the last chance that you're going to have to buy an iPod. They'll be able to get some off the shelves.
I can't think of anything better than an iPod.
Yeah, like how are you going to listen to your music?
Phone, all of your music on your phone.
On your phone. Yeah. No, on your iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I once got my sister's hand-me-down pink iPod Nano, and that was fire.
Yeah.
Even though it was like bright pink, I got teased for it. It was sick.
My favorite iPod thing was way back in the day. Like, I'm talking 06, 07, when the iPod, like, one or two came out, it would break. It would, like, freeze. And the only way to unfreeze it, I'd just chuck it against the wall, and it would always work.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you felt like a tech guy, because you'd just be like, all right, my iPod's broken. Whap.
My least favorite iPod memory was when those clowns, U2, got forced onto all of our iTunes.
Yeah.
That was awful. Yeah.
I had one of the iPod Nanos that didn't have a screen. And
oh yeah,
knowing how to navigate around that and just knowing where songs were, like I'm basically a genius. Like I'm Elon Musk for my level of knowing, like, I'd landscape and I would know, like, I have to click this, and this to get to the songs I want.
You felt like a blind person walking through hallways, like, when you knew exactly where the doors were.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then my cool throne is Will Levis.
Oh, yeah. Kentucky.
Football guy of the week. I think we talked to him about coming on. I don't think he actually came on, but he's a big AWL. He's won football guy of the week. He went viral for a bunch of stuff. We talked about him last year. CBS Sports put out their latest mock draft. He's number one.
Wow. All right.
We got to get him on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We really do.
He's a huge, huge mayo guy.
Yeah. Yep. He's one who ate the banana. Wait, what did he do with the banana?
He ate the banana.
With the peel
on. Yeah. And then he puts mayo in his coffee.
Yeah.
So all the respect in the world to this guy.
Shout out to Will.
Yeah. He's like the part.
No pressure.
You love when an athlete gets to a high level and they're also still a troll.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he is. And it's great. I love it so much.
It's in his blood. Yeah, I respect that. That's who he is as a person. It's his championship DNA.
So, recurring guest, Will Levis. I think it's Levis. Is it Levis?
I think it's Levis.
I think it is Levis.
It is Levis? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Levi's.
Yeah. He's a recurring guest. He just doesn't know it yet. Soon to be on the show.
Well, I think we were going to have him on, and then I think they, lost a couple games. And I was like,
threw a bunch of picks.
Yeah. But doesn't matter now.
These are really the only mock drafts that I truly trust are the ones that come out right after the actual draft, looking ahead to next year.
Yep.
I think they always get that exactly correct.
Exactly correct.
Especially
that's where you get the value.
Especially this year. They got it right.
Yeah. All right, PFT, your hot seat, cool throne.
My hot seat is farting.
Oh, yeah.
Farting's on the hot seat because there's a Brazilian defender. He's a soccer player. His name's Marcelo. And he played on Lyon. It's a French Ligue 1 team, which is their league number one. And he got booted from his team. He actually got cut and his contract terminated earlier this year. Everyone thought it was because he was laughing and stuff in the locker room when his captain was giving a big pump-up speech after they suffered a pretty bad loss. Turns out what was really happening was Marcelo was just continuously farting and laughing at his own farts in the dressing room as his manager and as his captain was addressing the team. And apparently he was farting so loudly and laughing so loudly that they just straight up cut him from the team. So I think like context matters here, because if he was farting like silent but deadly and then laughing at the smell, that's an asshole move.
Yes.
And I agree with cutting a player for that.
Yes.
If he's farting loudly and it sounds funny, like funny is funny, you can't cut a player for laughing at funny sounding farts.
Yes, I agree. I mean, Eli Manning would have been cut.
Exactly.
Right.
I say, in that case, I say Hogo Bonito. Continue to fart, continue to laugh. It's like, you know, you need sometimes also after a bad loss, you need to break it up a little bit in the locker room afterwards.
A fart in the middle of like an impassioned speech is objectively a hilarious move.
Especially after you lose and everybody's probably really down on themselves, feeling bad. If you fart in that training room afterwards, it makes the loss, it puts it into perspective, is what it does.
But you are right. If it's bad smells, bad smell guys, when they're told they're a bad smell guy and they continue to be a bad smell guy, worst of the worst.
Yeah. They you know what? His teammates should have joined in. That actually seems like it would be a great scene out of Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
After a bad loss, one of the guys farts, everyone looks at him kind of funny, and then the next guy farts. Pretty much before you know it, everyone on the team is farting. That's team building right
there. And someone lights a match and they all die.
That's camaraderie.
Yeah. Yep. End of the season.
Yep. That's actually how they should end the entire series of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, and then there's actually, no, they fart, light a match, everyone dies. Then there's a weird provision in the whole, like, league rules that if you everyone dies at one time, you win the league.
I like that.
Boom. And
I like
Ted
that.
Lasso. Always believe. And what is it?
Believe.
Believe.
Tap the believe sign. And then his wife gets back together with
him.
Yeah. And then my...
Fucks his dead corpse.
Yep.
Things took a turn.
She farts on his corpse
yeah.
at his funeral at the end of her eulogy for him. And says, I have always loved you, Ted.
Yeah. And then they ship his body back to America, but in the casket is a bunch of cocaine, Ozark season 6.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. We got it.
That's really beautiful.
I can't, how is Hollywood not...
Just
hired us.
Tap into our brains.
I still think that it would be a great idea if we just found a way to do a movie where it just meshed all the movies together. Just a fucking mash of them all.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
like everything is popular right now. It's
right.
Set, and this is set in South Korea, and the last soccer player to fart gets executed by a guy in a mask.
Yes, yes. This is like, it would all, or like even if you do actors, if you just do mashups for actors, like Tom Hanks is like getting off the boat in Normandy. He's getting bullets everywhere, people dying. Then all of a sudden he catches a football and he starts running, and that's the start of Forrest Gump.
And then Tom Cruise flies over him in the F-14 and strafes all the German soldiers using modern technology.
Right, and that's now Top Gun 4.
I love it.
3, yeah. Just mash them all.
It's beautiful.
The movie mash.
My cool throne is Andrew Luck. Because I think you guys told me this, that when you went to the steakhouse, St. Elmo's Steakhouse in Indianapolis, he doesn't eat steak, he eats chicken.
Correct.
And that's how you knew he was not going to be an elite quarterback.
Correct.
He was a very good quarterback for a while. Nervous bird. As we alluded to earlier, I only trust mock drafts that occur immediately after the draft. Last year's number one, Sam Howell, now a current Washington Commander, said that he also doesn't eat steak.
Oh.
So it might feel like a red flag, and it is a red flag.
Oh,
because like if you want a starting quarterback, yes, you want. He better be just chugging copious amounts of mayo if he's not eating steak. If he wants me to like him, but I could spin zone it in a way that's like, what if he's just waited his entire life and deprived himself of steak until he wins a Super Bowl, and that's like his goal.
Right.
That could be like a motivating
thing. That would be very, very motivating.
But apparently, like, no steak whatsoever. That's very strange to me. As a starting quarterback, I don't like it.
Yeah. It's let me just be clear. Eating chicken is fine. It was specifically going to a steakhouse and ordering chicken is a psycho move.
I have no problem with eating chicken.
Right.
I think that you have to, man's got to have a steak every now and again.
Right. Right. Exactly. Gotta have a steak.
Got it. Man's gotta have a steak.
All right. My hot seat is Huskier Dudes because it is officially t-shirt weather. And I tweeted something today about solidarity with all my guys who have to go. It's the one day a year where you basically switch abruptly from your sweatshirt to your t-shirt. You're not ready for it. You got to get out that t-shirt. Black t-shirts, double XL, triple XL, always size up. But it's just a terrible feeling. So shout out everyone there. We're going through it right now. That first few days, we're like, I haven't worn a t-shirt in 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right now. Solidarity, black t-shirt. It sucks. A lot.
Maybe a good move would be just make sure you have an undershirt on underneath the t-shirt.
Yep.
You've been out of the game for a while. It's a little sweaty. Make sure you've got something to soak that up. Maybe even a tank top or a wife beater season.
Yeah, and you also just need to find that one t-shirt that's very comfortable and just run that all throughout the summer. Don't be worried about wearing the same type of t-shirt. Like, obviously, change your t-shirt, but if it's the same, who cares?
How do we feel about long sleeve t-shirts and shorts?
It's good when it's, but that's got to be like 60 degrees.
I also think that's like a 25 year old and under move.
Yeah, but it's 60. It's like 60 degrees at the beach bonfire.
Yeah, but it's great bonfire weather.
Yeah, yeah. And then my cool throne is this podcast.
Good.
And our relationship with Chad Kelly.
Good.
Oh, hell yeah.
Chad Kelly sent me a jersey. I don't know why he sent it to me. He wrote, Big Cat, love and respect, brother, swag. I don't know why he sent it to me, but Billy, I'm going to gift it to you. Shows how much your loyalty is gone. Didn't you get blocked by him?
Yeah, but I then, I think I know what's wrong. He's been trying to.
Something's wrong.
No.
No, nothing's wrong. He's back with us.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
You've been his biggest fan.
Right.
So something must have happened.
Yeah, I didn't. He was trying to get me to help promote a coin with him.
Okay.
Oh, crypto.
Yeah, called.
And you wouldn't do it?
Boon coin.
Okay.
So shout out Boon coin. I think we're now good. I can accept the jersey.
I think he actually has a new business because it came with a bunch of stuff called Blazy Susan. I think it's a weed dispensary in Colorado.
I think those are separate packages.
No, it was all together.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe
they've sent us shit before.
Okay, so maybe it was not Chad Kelly specifically, but then that makes no sense. Is he part of Blazy Susan?
I don't know. I'll look into
they've been
business
sending
endeavors.
Us shit for a while.
If
really?
If I had to bet, I would say that Chad Kelly is more than likely involved in some sort of legal marijuana.
I'm
going to
find out Blazy Susan. But either way, we're back. We're back with Swag Kelly. Feels good.
Boon coin.
Yeah. This is, I will give
Billy,
you this.
Billy is so triggered right now.
Yeah, no.
Billy wants,
bad.
You know what? Like a jersey from Swag Kelly to Billy would mean way more than a tweet from Tom Brady to Hank.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I literally wore a Swag Kelly jersey like last weekend. Not this weekend, but last weekend.
Damn. Darty season?
Well, yes.
Now you can wear this one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Perfect. Toronto. Argonauts.
Hell
all right.
Yeah.
What's your hot seat cool throne, Billy?
My hot seat is the Mob. Now, I originally heard this from a dealer in Vegas, but apparently a bunch of Mob bodies have, because of the lowering levels of water in Lake Mead, a bunch of Mob bodies have been washing up because the water levels are lower.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah. They didn't find Jimmy Hoffa, but... just hot seat the Mob. They should have been working on water conservation efforts.
That would be hilarious.
City.
That would be a great episode of The Sopranos. The Mob goes green. that would be excellent. So
going to almond farmers.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to say that the Mob is
Wait,
on the
say
hot
that?
Almond. He said almond. When Billy mispronounces things, sometimes I let it fly.
It's an
say that
A.
Again.
It's an A.
Say it again.
Almond.
No.
Okay.
How do you say the Almond Brothers?
The Almond Brothers.
Wait, you just said almond.
So just put a D.
Dude, I'm so confused.
Put that D on almond.
Almond.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you'd say the nut.
What did I say before?
What?
Almond.
Okay, well, I see the A-L in my head, and then I say A-L.
It's just all
I
A-L.
Could not agree more.
Bill. Yeah.
you just get stopped at the A-L.
Yeah, I'm like, almond.
I thought you were going to say the Mob's on the hot seat because Gunna is getting arrested under RICO.
Yeah. And Young Thug.
And Young Thug.
Bubba, I think we need to fill in if... you really want to dive into that.
That's not very P of the FBI.
And James Harden somehow?
They're all in a record label, which is now being considered a gang, being investigated for a murder in 2015. Young Thug apparently rented the car that the killers used, and they've basically used the RICO case to tie
all of them,
the entire organization together.
We should get busted on a RICO.
But James Harden's always
we get RICO'd every day.
Wait,
James Harden is always with them, so that's where it's like the like when he's like I'm at the recording studio and until 5 a.m. before practice, like he's with.
Could you imagine
YSL.
if we get Jake to like commit a felony and then we all get RICO'd?
Well, no,
this is a part of my take crew.
We've definitely committed felonies on this podcast before. I actually transported a gun across state lines for that skit that we shot down in Houston.
Yes.
As a Canada Boys, we bought a handgun.
You bought a handgun.
Billy fucked a frog to death.
For content.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
for content.
Yeah. We
I don't have the gun anymore. I turned it in legally.
Wait,
Jake did too much dip inside of a stadium.
Yeah, that would be funny if we all got RICO'd for Jake.
Yeah.
But wait, if I did something in Uber that Big Cat paid for, is that Ash?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
RICO.
RICO.
That's RICO,
yeah,
bro. We're getting RICO'd.
Oh, was it High Noon? Was it High Noon involved?
No.
Okay.
What did you do in an Uber? A little Jameis?
It was... No, it wasn't Jameis. No, that was a joke. Just...
Yeah, totally.
Open the door.
Classic.
It was a joke. That was a funny joke that won't totally get you freaked out tomorrow when people are like, I know what you did in the Uber. And you're like, what? What did I do?
Two other hot seats. Brett Favre is part of a $24 million lawsuit by the state of Mississippi for him misallocating welfare funds. And my last hot
seat... Are you a cop?
...is the Queen... because Prince Charles, for the first time ever, delivered the Queen's speech for British Congress ever.
Ooh, so is she dead?
Is the Queen on the hot seat?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where is she? Mm-hmm. I'm on Queen Watch officially now. Mm. I'm tracking two things currently. Help me out there. One, the Queen's presence and her whereabouts. And two, when LeBron James is going to have that fucking Q&A.
Yep.
And my cool throne is Mike Tyson. All his charges for him beating up that guy on the plane were dropped. And UFOs, because there was recently a really good UFO picture.
Also, recently, I think Congress is having open testimony from like intelligence officials. And people from the Department of Defense about UFOs.
Hmm. Jake.
My hot seat is FIFA. The game is no more. EA Sports and FIFA are dead entering 2023. It's being rebranded as EA Sports FC. Doesn't have the same.
It's still FIFA. It's still FIFA. It's always going to be FIFA.
Fair.
FIFA is the game now.
Cool Throne is Nickelodeon. We are now getting Nick games in the regular season for the Christmas Day game between the Broncos and the Rams. It's going to be on Nick. This scheduling thing, they just are just doing like a game a day now.
I love
well,
it.
Well, yeah, Christmas, they're taking over Christmas from the NBA.
Yeah, but I'm saying the schedule release on Thursday doesn't mean as much anymore.
So,
I mean, it still means a lot. But.
I unironically love the Nick broadcast of football games.
Same.
It's I think Noah's there great. Should be a Nick broadcast every single weekend.
Wait,
like
you
one,
like,
one game should be on there.
You like Noah Eagle?
Yes, broadcaster approval.
But yeah, I think it's nice. Like you can opt into it. You don't have to watch the game with the slime. But if I have an option of watching a game with slime and watching a game without slime, I'm going slime.
Dude, I was actually bummed when they had the Nick broadcast in the playoffs this year, because like my son is starting to get to the age where like he'll literally look and be like, "Where's the football?" And it absolutely would keep his attention longer if they had slime. So I'm looking forward to it. And then he's going to just think about the generation of football fans that grow up on
yeah,
slime.
Yeah, they're going to get
slime. Gonna be so confused.
Yeah. Yeah, we're young slime life.
Slime
yeah.
every touchdown.
Yeah.
YSL.
Whew.
It's us.
I get that reference. I saw some of those tweets last night. I did a cursory, like, what's going on.
So are we well, – I want to know where we stand as a podcast, though. Are we free gunna?
Free thug.
But
free,
yeah. James free Harden thug. For jail?
That would be hilarious if you got caught up in a week of KCS. Especially
right
in, like,
before
the
like
round.
A game
yeah.
seven. Yeah, it would be unbelievable. So fucking funny. Okay, let's get to it. Let's get Ryan Whitney in studio. Great time with Whit. Before we do that, PFT, you got a quick word?
Yes.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, we now welcome on our good friend, Ryan Whitney, in studio. Hockey talk.
Hockey talk.
We were just talking about getting palled. Memes palled me. Yeah. It is the most disrespectful thing to have someone give you a like, she'd be like, "Okay, pal." That's fighting words.
Yeah, I said I'd rather get slapped in the face. I'd rather get somebody spit in my face too than pal me.
Yeah.
It's like Billy football bro and buddied me in the span of 10 seconds, and I feel like that's basically giving me a hug opposed to what's up, pal?
Pal is you're basically saying like, "I don't like you, I want to fight
you. Can you pass the salt?" Okay, pal. You're just like, what?
No problem,
the fuck?
Pal.
What about
it ruins dinner?
Yeah. You ever been sluggered?
No, slugger. We're talking. That's like, we can't even talk about
it. I think
slugger.
It's a knife fight at that point.
Well,
unless
you're talking about like a 12-year-old in his like baseball uniform.
Well, that's what I'm
then
saying.
That's
like
a real slugger.
As a man, as an adult male, if you get sluggered.
Yeah, but what
stab.
If it's a 12-year-old who just went 0-for-4 with 4 Ks? You're like, hey,
then
slugger.
That's
funny. And you're like,
oh,
shit.
Yeah, that's teaching him a lesson.
He sluggered the scrub.
Yeah.
Slugger. All right, so you guys, speaking of beef, PFT and Witt have beef.
By
the way,
we're not talking
Billy
right
football
now.
Has a fucking hole in his pants with his horn staring right at me. Are you kidding me, Billy?
Let me see, Billy.
What the hell?
Billy.
Let's see, Billy.
You might as well pal me for the rest of eternity. Your hole is
talking to Mike, Billy.
Jesus.
It's a rip. There's two levels of cloth. These are, pardon my take, great
Jesus,
pair of
buy some pants.
Billy's
brought a hole in them, Billy.
What? I didn't realize there was a hole until you just said.
Okay, so. Well, I'm telling you to get some new pants.
He's lying. I told him 5 minutes before this interview there's a hole. I looked out for him.
Well, I meant like I didn't realize until I sat down here.
Wow. So he just made
Hot
that up.
Start.
Back to PFT and I. So Jake maybe hasn't heard this, or Billy, I'd like their opinion. PFT.
I want to hear the whole thing. I didn't watch.
PFT, enormous Caps fan. We were having a great discussion watching the game. We had the volume on Penguins Rangers, but my Pens were smashing the Rangers. So we said, all right, let's go third period. That game's over. We'll go volume for Caps. Now, I'm rooting for the Capitals, actually. Like, I want them to win. We were talking beforehand about
that
another.
That is bullshit. You said before the game even started that you were rooting for the Cats.
No.
I went out.
Can I speak?
No, well, you're telling a lie.
No, I'm not. I said, I think the Cats are going to win. Then we both agreed we'd love one more Crosby-Ovechkin matchup.
Correct.
Unfortunately, correct. It can't happen until the conference finals. We thought it was second round, but the way they...
Oh, it what, can?
Yeah, they're seated in different
ways. We're still unclear about that.
Yeah, because, like, we don't know. I don't host a hockey podcast.
There
are
nine different opinions in the room at one time being like what the next matchup's going to be in the next round.
So either way, we're watching the game, and the Caps are kind of playing horrific, but they're up 2-1. They had about 12 shots on net. They're winning. They got to hold down the fort. Now, I picked the Penguins win. Then I had Zibanejad shot bet, so I'm feeling it. I'm 2-0 on the night. I'm feeling it.
You're
and
hot.
Big Cat, you'll say when you're hot, you're getting things coming to your brain, you're feeling it, and your bets are firing.
Seeing everything.
So yep. I said, guys, the Panthers are going to tie this game up. Everyone here, bet next goal Panthers. I go, I want the Capitals to win. When the Panthers score, I'm all in on the Caps. PFT lost his mind. You're doing this to fuck with me and my life and my livelihood. You were legitimately.
My livelihood.
He thought everyone, I did it on purpose.
I often am talking about my livelihood. Disgusting. That's a word I use a lot.
You're a livelihood guy. You have a great vocab. But you actually took it personal. Whereas I was just feeling a bet.
No, here's what happened. If you had bet on the Cats before the game, and you're rooting for that game in my face, I understand that. I get that. That's part of the game, right? That's what you do on streams. You have two people going at each other. This, to me, felt like
livelihood.
When the Caps were up 2-1 in the third period, and you were like, you know what we're going to get? That's right. I'm going to go live bet. It's going to be the Panthers scoring the next game. And he pointed in my face, and you're right. What you just said.
I didn't
said,
point in your face.
What you
so
just
you
said. No, 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 no. The,
yeah, I didn't
the
point
biggest
your
part
face.
About this was you... You rounded up the troops.
No one took it.
You're like, hey, everybody else, let's all bet on PFT to lose. And then after I was like, wait, this is fucked up. Then you were like, okay, you know what I'll do just for you? After they score that goal, then I'll bet.
I think this is all on camera. So revisionist history for PFTs. Basically bizarre because I might as well pal you right now. Okay, pal, your story's wrong. I'll say this.
Billy, don't you laugh at
I'll
me.
Say
over
this.
There, you're basically, you're
for
basically,
me, for
basic
me,
instinct Billy over there flashing Whitney.
Billy's legit tugging himself off through the hole in his pants. Let's leave him in the corner.
It's not a real
Let's
hole.
Leave him in the corner.
It's his clock.
It is, it's a real hole.
To finish off the story, the Panthers, I'm feeling it. I'm making winning bets, and then the Panthers are out shooting them 28-12. I'm like, they're going to tie it up. It was nothing personal towards my buddy and my pal, PFT. And then I did say I want the Capitals to win, and they didn't. So I'm not getting blamed for a game that the Caps played like shit at home and really didn't deserve to win.
I'm okay. simply only blaming you for vibes. That's it. And I admit 100%, like, I'm very salty this morning. I woke up this morning with a hockey hangover where I didn't even drink less. I had a beer in overtime. I'm waking up this morning feeling like absolute dog shit because my team lost an overtime game, and emotions are running wild right now, but this is why we watch, right?
Well, so I think you were kind of fucked up in the moment if you were using your good juju to beat PFT, but I also think PFT, like, when I get mad about a bet, I can move on about 10 minutes after. I get very, very mad for 10 minutes, so I don't think PFT should carry it to today. Is that fair? Like, you kind of fucked
fair,
him.
That's fair, but it wasn't even
you
me.
You kind of fucked him, but him being mad today is also wrong.
The gambling game is just like every man for himself.
No, I know, and I get,
and,
like,
and
you
I'm like,
saw.
I'm winning tonight.
When I'm thinking about, like, during March Madness when Rico tried to shake my hand after I had a terrible loss.
That was
like, I'm
a
not
scumbag move, and I'm
hand.
A Rico rider.
Yeah,
was,
and then
you can't shake his hand.
And then 10 minutes later, I was like, all right, I'm settled down. I'm good. Like, we've moved on.
I shouldn't have played with your hair after they tied it up. I'm sorry for that.
Small difference is, like, this wasn't a bet that I lost. It's, like, the team that I care about.
Right, but you can't carry it.
I know.
That's true.
I'm fully admitting that I'm carrying it right now. I'm wearing it for too long, but that's what I'm feeling.
Well,
that's
let's talk about the
right
fact
now,
that
Ryan.
After the game ended, he just sat there in silence for an hour. I'm like, is this guy going home? And finally, he stood up. He's like, see ya. I was like, oh, shit.
Frank,
he
get
is
your
rattled.
Laptop. Wait,
he
so,
is rattled.
So let's
that's
start
you,
with
that's
this.
That's what you got to do after a loss. You just got to collect your thoughts for a good long while.
Let's start with this series. Is that like that? Because the way the Capitals lost was horrific. Losing, you know, giving up a goal with 2 minutes left. Then losing in overtime at home to basically put like a stranglehold on the series. Do you think that that's curtains for them?
I actually don't, because as PFT and myself said last night, they have a goalie. They found a goalie. You know, it was going into the series. It's like, who are they going to play? They got two different tenders. Well, this Samsonov last night and every game pretty much has been really solid since he came in. So I think that for them to be able to like know they can hold the Panthers to whatever, 2-3 goals. They scored like 4.5 goals a year all season.
Right.
And that's why going into the playoffs, I was like, I picked them to win this series, but I said, I don't know if they could continue to just score at will in the playoffs. Like, everything changes. So I think the Capitals can at least force game 7. They got to, They got to at least show up to play and get more than 15 shots next game.
So when you say everything changes, I agree. Playoff hockey always
used to
be.
Until this year.
Right. It used to always be just take the under. Like, teams play defense. Guys block shots. Guys play more. Like, the teams play more conservatively. They try not to make as many mistakes. What's going on this year? Because it's basically the opposite. It used to be every time we get to the playoffs, you can just basically bank on, like, 2-1, 3-2 games.
Yep.
And now it's just every night, everyone's scoring.
So the league changed this year, maybe a little bit last year, where scoring exploded. And, like, watching as many games and reading articles, it's like no one really has that much of an explanation as to why. I mean, the talent's unreal. The game's faster, quicker. The playoffs is staying the same, I think, because of all the penalties called. So, like, yeah. People's complaint right now is that it doesn't even feel like hockey some games, where, you know, most of the time in the playoffs, you're hoping for 46 to 50 minutes of 5-on-5 hockey, maybe 2 or 3 power plays for each team, and then you're going to see a real winner based on 5-on-5. It's turned into just survive 5-on-5, wait till you get a power play. And now teams' power plays are so good. You see the Panthers, they have 5 forwards on their power play. Like, most teams are at least just 1 defenseman. So I think that the scoring staying up has a lot to do with the power plays, and also just the game's good right now.
Yeah.
I think hockey's – I think the ratings are up. Shout out to our boy Biz Nasty talking about them big old titties in Dallas on TNT. So they're uh-huh. getting –
Took over, beat NBA on that Thursday night.
Did they?
No, well, the NBA didn't have any games last Thursday because NHL was on TNT. Just kicked him off the fucking
exactly.
TV.
There we go. And they had Barkley on the other night, and he's talking about series. He's talking about Crosby, Ovi, and the Maple Leafs. So hockey's in a good place. And the scoring being up, it is odd during the playoffs. You're used to these defensive battles, but I think it's good. I think it's solid. Yeah. I'm into it.
So at the end of that Caps game, there was one moment where we almost put it away, where we almost made it a 3-1 game, and it was an empty netter at the end. I think it was Hathaway that shot it. I forget who shot the puck, but it essentially bounced off the post, outside the post, didn't go in. That translates to an icing, comes back to the other end of the ice. Is that something that, like, coaches tell you in the playoffs, like, don't take empty net shots because the risk-reward is not that great?
No, so funny enough, back in the day when I was growing up, when I was playing pro, if you were up a goal.
You played pro?
Nine and a half years over here, and then a year in Russia. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for remembering. When I was playing pro, Billy, pal.
I was technically a pro boxer.
No, you weren't. You boxed the guy who took a dive.
He technically was a pro boxer.
You were a pro trainer for the guy the other night that beat Canelo. So, back then, when there was a one-goal lead and you had the puck, if you went for the goal and iced it, your entire team would shame you. It was like Game of Thrones. Shame.
Yeah.
Shame. You're a scumbag if you did that. You're like, you're selfish. You're trying to get a goal. We got to make sure we're not giving up faceoffs down the other end. Don't ice the puck. Don't ice the puck. Then, I'm going to say it was 2-3 years ago, obviously analytics becomes a thing, and people start doing the research and figuring out the math. I'm a math guy, but not that big of a math guy.
You're
I have no idea
guy.
How it works, but now they
know.
You know
the metric system.
Now
like
they
how
know.
Much, this is an ounce. This is an eighth. This is a gram. Mm-hmm.
Now they know that you're supposed to literally go for it. So it doesn't matter how many times you ice it, because the times that you can actually hit the net and put the game away outweigh the ability for that team to win a faceoff, go D to D, or actually score. So now any time you're up a goal, you're going for it.
So the other part that's interesting, I feel like this has been a change. Teams now pull the goalie with like 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Crazy. And I when you're down 2 goals, I could see 3.5, maybe 4 minutes. But was it last night? I think they pulled it with 3:30, and they just needed one goal.
Yeah.
But PFT said once they got control in the offensive zone and they're snapping around, that's when PFT is like, oh, shit, this is too much time. So, yeah, if you pull them early and all of a sudden in the neutral zone they're snapping around and you're fumble-fucking the puck and all of a sudden the other team puts it away and there was so much time, it looks bad. But if you can get in the zone, tire the 5 guys out there, tire them out, and you got 6. Over time, you're going to get at least a couple great
inches. Yeah, it was a matter of an inch.
Exactly.
The puck missed by an inch. And then
less than an inch.
Thank you. We're having a different conversation, and we're talking about a 3-1 series. And we're probably actually – so Biz actually went at it online with your guy, Keith Olbermann. I know you're a big fan of his.
Huge Keith.
Yeah, me and Keith, we vacation together in the summer.
Real
it's tight. Awesome,
you guys
too.
Ran a
we walk our dogs together.
Baseball.
You know, he's got those, like, dead dogs he's doing advertisements for.
Fuck that.
That guy's a legit piece of shit, but I still love him. That's why we go on this – cute little vacation. We rent a house in Nantucket. It's beautiful.
I had to mute him just because every day it was like, this dog's about to die in 45 seconds unless you pick it up. And like, I was like, God damn it.
I was
helping him make those tweets.
but
he's got a gun to a dog's head.
I will personally kill him.
Smoking crack out of a pipe.
3rd and 65th Street. Get here right now.
I'm actually meeting him for lunch after this. I'll tell him you said hi.
So he was going at it with Biz Nasty, and he was, I guess, Biz was saying that TJ Oshie, no sussy for him. Where are we at on that?
I'm pretty sure rarely does the entire hockey Twitter community agree on something, so you're never going to get 100%, but basically everyone sees that as a clean hit. Unfortunately, Bennett had his stick in his glove kind of up near his chest, so the point of contact kind of hit his hand, which is against his check. Then the guy hit his stick, like hit himself in the face with his own stick, and the guy got crushed. I mean, sometimes you got to have your head up, cutting through the neutral zone. Get off the train tracks, right?
Yep.
You don't want to get run over. And Oshie runs people over. It was a great hit.
Yeah, it was a great hit. And
you're Keith Oldman.
Big hits in hockey are the best. We were talking before, you don't think Canada is going to win the Stanley Cup. You're a Maple Leafs hater. You're an Edmonton Oilers alum.
Once an Oiler, always an Oiler.
Wasn't the best time of your career.
No, but still, Big Cat, I'm gonna choose to remember the good things about Edmonton, not getting screamed at and called a piece of shit, scumbag, fuckhead as I'm walking to the ice. Actually, so I don't know if they still have it, but at the old arena, Rexall Arena, we'd come out of the locker room, and I don't know like how you got the tickets, but there was a big, long bar that you walked by, so all the fans are drinking. Now, granted, every year we're last place. I'm like, oh, my God. So I got traded there, and Dustin Penner at the time was the whipping boy. And I knew for a fact, I'm like, this is going to be me at some point. I'm a tall, not physical defense. It's going to get ugly. So Penner, as we're sitting there waiting to go out before the big Oilers emblem door opens and you walk out for the ice, he's like, you want to see me get completely crushed when these doors open? I'm like, what do you mean? The doors open. They're like, Penner, you fat fuck. Fuck you. I was like, holy shit. It was before his nose even got out of the doorway. So I was like, oh, boy. So then as time went along, it turned into me. I'm walking on the ice like, Whitney, you suck, you big-eared prick. I was like, Jesus Christ. But
credit to you because you are still an Oiler alum.
So I explain it like this. Edmonton, now granted, CFL's there, but that doesn't count. It's a fake league. They have one team. One pro team, there's over a million people there. And they've had so much success with Gretzky, Messier, all the glory days. So being there and being as bad as we were, I witnessed the most loyal, passionate fan base. Now, every team's fan base can say that. But Canada, there's nothing else going on. It's the Flames and the Oilers in Alberta. I just want them to have success. Because they went to the finals in 05 or whatever it was. Since that, 06, they've been horrific.
Right.
They made the playoffs maybe once, I think, maybe twice.
First overall
picks. Yeah. They have like then they got Dreisaitl, and then like it's just they if they can't figure it out, it's kind of crushing to the fan base that I know cares so much. So I decided to hop on board tonight. I'm sending them a video. It'll be on the big screen. I'm gonna get them all fired up.
Love it.
I'm gonna say you guys better scream for this team as loud as you used to scream and call me a cunt as I was walking on the ice. Maybe we can drop the cunt bomb. I'm sorry for that, but they hated me. But I've risen above that to really kind of be an Oiler for life.
I love it because I just bet all the Canada teams. I told you before. After retiring Coach K, I was like, what's my next challenge? Oh, it's the impossible, bringing a Stanley Cup to Canada because it hasn't happened since 1993. So I'm in on the Oilers. I'm in on the Flames. You hate the Leafs.
I don't. Yeah, I hate Leafs fans, which is actually funny because it's like I'm just talking about how passionate the Oilers fans
right.
are. Oilers fans have more. They're more down to earth. They're like Western Canadian people. I say people from Saskatchewan are the greatest people in the world. Ontario people can be pricks. And I love Ontario. Check out the score bet. But they're just very cocky about the Leafs for no reason. Right. Oilers fans are like, we suck. We haven't done anything in so long. Leafs fans are acting like they got four cups in the last 10 years. They haven't won the cup since 67. They haven't got out of the first round in 20 years.
Right.
So it's
they
like,
should be lovable losers by now, though, right?
But that's what I'm saying. They're not like Cubs fans before the World Series. They're cocky. You're like, right. Dude, why are you cocky? You have nothing to be cocky about. I said,
like Yankees fans right now.
Yankees fans are a joke. Is that you, Jake?
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. Billy.
He's got a hole in his pants. Yeah. So I think if you look at Maple Leafs fans, If they could show a little humility and kind of admit that they're the joke, I wouldn't hate them as much.
Right. See, and they are a joke because they lose every year.
I also think that's on a sliding scale for Canada. It's like the biggest pricks in Canada, they're basically like Seattle, like Seahawks fans. You know, like they're a little bit arrogant, but it's
like they're the biggest pricks, but they still won't pal you.
Right. Yeah. Right. They'd never do that. They would never, ever do
like,
that.
Like they'd fucking not. They'd rather kill one of Oldman's dogs.
I also think they're kind of overcompensating sometimes for how miserable it's been because it's a difference. Like, The Oilers have not been in the playoffs. The Leafs have been in the playoffs and just lost every time. Like, that's a different
leading 3-1, right? Like with leads. So I'm very excited now. By the time you guys are listening to this tomorrow, is this coming out tomorrow?
Yeah.
So we'll know what happened. But tonight's Game 5 in Toronto is must watch TV. So I can't wait to check that out. In Tampa, I think they're going to get it done. I just think the Leafs have this vibe about them that. So this stat's unbelievable. This stat kind of explains a lot. I think it's the Austin Matthews era. If not, it's a little before that. The Maple Leafs recently, while down in the series, they're like 7 or 8 and 3. While tied in the series, they're about 500, say 8 and 8. And when leading these series, they're 1 and 9. So it's more of like, it might be a legit mental thing. It's like having a 3-leg parlay and you just can't close it.
Right.
You know?
And they're up against the opposite where the Lightning, I don't know what the exact stat is, but I think Biz said it, like the last 3 years, they've never lost back-to-back playoff games.
15 or 16-0.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. And so it's at the point now, if you're not betting them after a loss, it's like you're giving away free money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about our good friends, the New York Rangers? I just kind of wanted to give you the floor.
The biggest Fugazi scumbag. Another fan base that drives me fucking crazy. It's because you talk to Avery in the office, and you talk to Glenny Balls and his fucking stupid 50 jerseys he wears. They had nothing to say last night when I said, guys, you have one cup in 82 fucking years. And they act like they're God's gift to green earth. I actually used to hate the Islanders fans for the bullshit they gave to Tavares when he signed in Toronto. I like them more than Rangers fans. Now, Jake, are you a Rangers fan too?
No, he's a Panthers fan.
He is a real piece of shit.
Oh,
he's
geez.
From Miami.
He's the Yankees, Panthers, like
40, Dolphins,
49ers fans. Dolphins?
Yeah.
You're from Florida?
Mike Tirico. Yeah,
oh, sorry to hear that. So I Rangers, I'll say this. They have a pretty bright future, whereas I think every one of their fans kind of thought maybe next year, 2 years from now, it's like we're competing for the cup. Well, everything kind of got pushed up a little because of the success they had, whereas now it's like we're going to beat the Penguins easily. It's like you're going against Sidney Crosby. They're acting like Crosby is this no-name scrub. He's one of the best players of all time, and they really treated him with zero respect. And what has he done this year? He's been the best player on the ice.
Right. Right, and he's, yeah.
And Shesterkin's done nothing.
Right.
I understand what happened to the Rangers fans because they were so bad last year. Tom Wilson ended their entire franchise, basically, at the end of the season. They fired everybody.
Yep.
They kind of had to rebuild a lot of pieces. They came into this year, and then they so massively outperformed expectations earlier that they're like, fuck it.
They rushed everything.
This feels good. Right. This feels good. So they rushed, and you can be like, oh, the fans rushed having expectations, but they actually rushed things in terms of, like, how they built their team. They're like kind of – they kind of got some, like, short-term loans, right?
Well, they trade a lot for Andrew Kopp, who's a UFA, so they're probably going to lose him, and he's really good. He came from Winnipeg. I mean, once they signed Panarin, it was kind of everything was going to be a little rushed up to begin with. They also probably had no idea this Adam Fox was going to be one of the best defensemen in the league. He wins the Norris, so things did go a little quickly. It was more about Rangers fans, to me, not being like, oh, wow, you know what? It's happened a little early, so I don't expect much this year, but I know we're on the right path, and let's try to give it a run. It was like, no, we're going to win the cup. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
8 months ago, you guys were, you said you weren't even going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So it's just, it's cocky fan bases. And now fans make the game so special, you guys know that, but some of them drive me crazy.
So the one fan base that deserves to be cocky, well, maybe not because they don't have, like, prolonged success, but they look like the best team. The Southern franchise of Colorado.
Yeah, Biz's like, favorite Southern state.
They're I mean, that it's crazy to look at the landscape. I know the Penguins went up 3-1 last night, but almost every other series is very competitive.
2-2.
And then you have the Avalanche that just took care of business and absolutely fucking trucked the Predators. Are they, like, how are they getting stopped?
I don't know. I don't know if they can be stopped. The one thing that would worry me is their goaltending maybe staying healthy? We saw Kemper get the stick in the eye in game 3 in Nashville, and he had to leave. I think it's Francois or Francois. I can't say his name. He's a silly sider. He's a lefty goalie. He came in.
I like that.
Silly side. Yes, because you come down, you're used to shooting high glove, and then all of a sudden that's his blocker. It's a silly side thing. They're wackos to begin with. They're like Billy should be a goalie.
Goalies are crazy.
Fucking they're lunatics. They're out of their mind. Crazy people. So they went and made a big deal this summer for Darcy Kemper, who's a great goalie. He's now going to be okay. They said his eye's just swollen. Thank God. It looked like he might have got legit the stick in his eye, which was scary, but apparently it's swollen. He'll be ready to go game one of the second round.
Oh, Joel Embiid's playing with the orbital bone fracture.
Oh, I saw the other game four of the Bruins.
Wow. So hockey tough?
No, listen. Listen, game four of the Bruins, Bergeron got a cut on his eye. He was bleeding everywhere, and he tried to stay out for the 5-on-3. And I was with a friend. He's like, there'd be an MRI machine on the fucking court if this was the NBA right
what
now.
What would happen if somebody in the stands like tried to hug a player's mom? What would happen then?
What if
like a fan in the stands tried to hug a hockey player's mom? Is that okay?
She'd probably fucking boot him right in the nuts.
Like, yeah, take care of
unless
herself.
It was a fan of like her son's team, like Ryan O'Reilly's mom was in the stands. If a Blues fan came over and tried to hug her,
uh-huh.
If a Wild fan came over and tried to hug her, she'd probably just straight up ball tap. She'd say, take a hike.
Take care of herself.
She's like, my son's a Blue.
So the Avalanche.
The Avs are the best team in the league. The Panthers went on this crazy run to actually take the President's Trophy from them, which is a good thing. Very rarely does the President's Trophy, the regular season champ, win the cup. The Avs have every making of just a complete wagon, right? They have superstar talent at the top end. Even last night, Nathan MacKinnon, one of the best players in the game, said in the interview, he said, right now, Cale Makar is the best player in the league.
Yeah.
He is a fucking treat to watch. Every single game, he's doing things that I've never seen before, really done. Like, he's the McDavid of defensemen.
Yeah.
And I think Biz might have mentioned that originally, but it's like he's walking guys at the blue line. His shot's amazing. He also has the ability to light guys up. So you've seen offensive defensemen. Like when I had one good year offensively, I didn't touch a soul. This kid every year produces a point per game and then is running people over. I just think it's going to be hard to beat them because of how much depth they have. So like even at the top, that's what I'm talking about, the bottom, their bottom players are good. They play hard. They play fast.
And you got to do that to win a cup. You have to have
four lines.
You have to have at least a couple games where your fourth line gets one of those dirty-ass goals. And, like, when shit's not working for the top line.
And there's going to be nights when Makar and MacKinnon get shut out, and then that's when that third and fourth line shows up. Another big storyline for the Avs is Nazem Kadri. Three playoffs in a row, he's been suspended. He plays on the edge. He's one of those guys that makes teams good because he's a dirty rat player that's also really skilled, but he can't control his temper. This year, he's also UFA, so he probably knows if I get suspended again, it might cost me some money this summer. He has to just keep his cool, right? He's actually one of those guys that they need to win the cup.
Right.
Because he's that second level behind MacKinnon and Makar and Rantanen. But they are the favorites, no doubt.
If you're going up against them, you have to try to get him. Well, no, but if you're prime Ryan Whitney playing in the games, you have to try to get under his skin, right?
Have to.
Try to get him to do anything to get suspended.
Have to try to piss him off to at least have him throw an elbow. I think the suspensions have basically all been hits to the head. And just try to get him to do – if you could piss him off enough, maybe he's going to go after you and throw a dirty hit.
Right.
Yeah. What about the altitude in Denver? We always talk about the altitude when it comes to football.
It's actually true. We never do it.
We never do in hockey. I think it's because it's indoors and people are like, air doesn't
exist. Yeah, the air doesn't travel indoors. It's you have masks the entire time.
Is that a thing?
It's a COVID thing. It actually is. Although, funny story, I remember my first game there – we were skating in the morning. My buddy's like, dude, the altitude fucks you up. The altitude messes you up. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, this is kind of bad because you're skating around. In the first period, usually you're like, they came out hard. They always had good teams. And you'd be huffing wind. And then one guy's like, you don't think it was the 15 beers that you guys had last night that has anything to do with you guys huffing wind right now? I'm like, oh, I guess that is a good point. But the entire air part of it is true. At the beginning, at least, once you get used to it, it's okay.
Yeah.
But if you're there for the series, I think
you get used to it. Yeah, you're there for a couple of
days. But if you fly in and play, it's going to hit you.
Right. Have you ever thought about, like, does this ever happen in the NHL? Like, somebody takes a razor in their hand, like they're in WWE, and they, like, cut themselves real quick to make it look like they got a shot to the head?
No, but I wouldn't put it past a player in the playoffs who takes a puck or a stick to the face, or it couldn't be a puck, a stick to the face, goes down, and then just tries to scratch away to get blood.
Oh, that's flopping.
No, it's not. It's gamemanship to get another 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Flopping, sounds like NBA. Flopping would be when that guy fucking said that his knee, who was that, pool?
He broke the code, bro.
That's a flop. When you tweet out the guy broke the code and then delete the tweet when they realize you actually hurt yourself.
Whoa, dude, you know. You never touch the inside of another man's knee.
Unless they have a hole in their pants like Billy Football.
You keep looking at
well,
it.
Well, it's staring right in the face.
It's in my
it's
eyeball.
It's literally in his face.
It's literally in my the same level, too. Yeah.
What would happen in an NHL game if somebody lightly touched the inside of your knee? Is it on-site?
On-site. Drop the gloves. Want to go, buddy?
I'd still rather that than somebody pal me.
Yeah.
What's the worst place to get hit by a shot? I think I asked you this last night on the stream.
Nuts for sure. You know, if you got those long dog balls that hang out of the cup and you catch a puck in the balls, you're fucked. Then once we said about, you know, having the cup and it should be protective, top of the laces is awful. You know, you go out to block a shot. I actually...
Like the shin, ankle?
So, karma... I would flamingo occasionally, and flamingo's a saying where you get on one leg to try to maybe hopefully not block the shot.
Right.
And then what happens is when I do it, I'd flamingo, and then if I hadn't done it, it would have hit my shin pad, but it hits the top of my feet and fucks up my feet. Actually, the way all my injuries began, I took a puck off the top, broke my big toe. It was pretty painful, and it started fucking up how I walk. So
if you didn't flamingo?
I got one in the mouth, too. Knocked teeth out. That sucked.
Oh.
Was that kind of cool in a weird way, though, like when you actually get to spit the tooth out?
No, because I actually, it pushed these two teeth in, my two front teeth, it pushed them in. So I came off the ice at the end of the game, and this was in the minors, and the guy said, the doctor, the dentist is there. He's like, listen, put your mouth guard in, go home tonight, wear the mouth guard, because that's how the teeth are supposed to be obviously sitting in shape.
This is not a good dentist.
This is perfect.
I know, I was like, this is Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Yeah. I'm like, that doesn't make sense, but all right, whatever. So I put the mouth guard in, I go home, and then like 3 a.m, I wake up, I have a massive headache. I go in the bathroom. I just take the mouth guard out and the two teeth just came right with it.
Yeah.
Oh. So I was looking at the mouth guard with my two front teeth sticking out. I was like, what the
this
fuck?
This guy tried to invent Invisalign.
Yeah, I think his whole plan was I'm going to have this kid scarred for life pulling his two. These teeth are like this long, dude. When you take them out, the roots go up to your nose. So I couldn't believe it just looking at it. But that's for dentist in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. That's my story.
Oh, my God. That's, that doesn't sound like it's what you're supposed to do. All right, so what series did we miss? Oh,
Hurricanes.
Hurricanes.
Yep.
Bruins. Yeah, it felt like the Bruins were dead. 2-2 now. Thoughts?
I've been on the Hurricanes a little bit this year in terms of saying great regular season team, unreal coach. They love Brendan Moore. He's an intense dude. But they don't have, in my mind, a cup-contending team because they don't have a superstar. And you saw them play a team game, and Aho's an awesome player, and Slavin on D's great. They lost Freddie Anderson, who could have been up for the Vezina. That sucks. So they don't have him right now. But the first two games, they used their entire team to win, and they won easily. But what happens is you go back to Boston. Boston made some lineup changes. They threw Chris Wagner in, who they'd sent to the minors. He's physical. They sent him in basically to go decapitate someone. They're like, we're getting pushed around. I was with a guy at home who doesn't even really watch hockey, but he'll watch the playoffs. He's like, the Bruins aren't even... They're not even hitting anyone. Like, I'm used to the big, bad Bruins. They've changed their game. So they made some lineup changes. But the reason I bring up Carolina not having a superstar is because what happens? Marchand takes over the series. So he had awful game 1 and 2, but because he's a superstar, a level player that the Canes don't have, he's able to take over, win game 3. Game 4, he had 5 points.
Jesus.
And now it's a complete series because you look at it like, I think the Bruins will probably lose game 5 because they really struggle, and Carolina's got a great, home ice advantage. The fans are good. But I still don't know. Even if they get by the Bruins, they don't have what it takes because they don't have a game breaker. They don't have a Marchand. They don't have a Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman. There's just even Ovechkin. It's like you need a next level star to win a Stanley Cup, I think.
Yeah.
The Canes, ironically enough, kind of won 1 year back when they beat the Oilers without a star. There was a lot of great players.
Stahl.
But yeah, he was young. You could argue that they didn't have a superstar, though.
Look at that. You didn't think I had that in my brain.
Oh, I knew you did.
Come on.
I knew you did. You're like,
I don't know which
stall.
It was
Schwab.
It Jordan?
It was Gunner? Eric.
Eric. Yeah, I didn't know what. That's why I said Eric. The last name, not the first.
Well, there's three of them that played like 20 years.
I know.
Fuck. But yeah, I think that'll probably go 7.
Who's most likely to win the Ryan Whitney Award this year? Guy who got traded from a team that then wins the cup.
Oh, man. Probably Tyson Jost. Although Tyson,
do you hit him up? Is it like, is there like a club?
No, I leave my number in every locker room and say, when you're traded, and then the team that traded you wins the cup. come down to my house. We'll play some golf. We'll have a drink.
We'll laugh.
I'll walk you through this. Yeah, I'll walk you through this.
We'll laugh. That will then turn into a cry. Be like, no, it's no big deal.
Yeah, don't worry, man. Don't worry. You won't be upset about this in 20 years. You won't think about this every time the playoffs start. What was I saying? What was I just talking about?
We were actually going to do, we had an idea. We were thinking of like episodes that we could do that like we could bank and run in the summer. And one of the ideas that we tossed around was like talking to guys who got traded from championship teams. Because it's like, and obviously you played pro. So like that's 0.0001% of the population. You're better than everyone else like that. But
did you get a ring from that?
No, everyone asked me that, and I wouldn't even have wanted a ring.
No.
I think baseball does that.
Yeah.
Were you rooting against them at the end? You had to have been a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's so weird. I think deep down I was.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie. Like, a lot of those guys I played in the minors with, and right. I was super happy for them. But watching Game 7 against the Wings, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't rooting for
them. Yeah, because
it's
you...
It's just like, it's natural to be like, I can't...
Like, fuck these
and
guys.
Then, yeah. And then when the Wings... When the Penguins were closing it out, Max Talbot, two goals that game. We played together in the minors. We same draft and everything. I went down to my room and I was just like, oh my God. Like, I was crying. I can openly admit. I was like, I can't believe all of my buddies are raising the cup. And last year we'd also lost to the Wings, so I was experiencing kind of both. I mean, it could have been worse. You could have been Marian Hossa, who in the end got three with Chicago, but he left the Penguins to go to the Wings and then lost to the Penguins.
Right.
So it was tough. But, I mean, looking back now, it's like people say that. You have a ring? I'm like, I wouldn't even have wanted the ring.
No.
I had nothing to do with it. The only thing I'd do with it is they got Kunitz, who's one of the best players, because of my ass got shipped out.
Well, you know what you need to do is you need to just wait like maybe like 10 or 15 more years, and then eventually people's minds will just put you on that team.
Oh, no, that's already happened.
Like the 85 Bears, like – you could have like a guy who played in the 90s, like, oh, were you on the 85 Bears? Like, it just happens over time. Like, there's who are we doing? Dude. Oh, Jeff Schwartz. I think we had Jeff Schwartz on, or I talked to him once. I was like, so what was it like to win a Super Bowl? And he's like, I wasn't on those teams. Like,
oh, the Giants,
yeah, it's like, the Patriots, all right, yeah, cool. Like, I just kind of thought you were.
Hey, on the other side of it though, Biz was on a cup winning team. People were like, you weren't on that team, right?
There's no chance.
He's like, no, man, I was on that fucking team.
But you're in the picture, right? The beginning of the year picture where they go back and they look at that team. There's Ryan Whitney right there. That's the team that won.
Yeah,
the
game.
And then in the DVD, I just like fade away and Kunitz's face goes in, and that's how we got it done. But no, yeah, it sucks. And the funny thing about that is like we'll do the meet and greets for Chicklets, and people will be like, man, it was great you won that cup. And I'm like, yeah, it was awesome. I don't even correct him now. I'm like, it was so sick. I got buckled.
You know what was great during the stream last night? Actually, this was Ryan's first time watching a stream with Frank the Tank.
I know.
No.
Well, you got to experience his jokes for the first time.
Like, yeah, I hadn't heard some of those
jokes.
Yeah,
well, he also tuned in. I put on the stream like 5 minutes into it, and Whit was just stuck between Frank and Stu, and he just had, you know, you maybe hadn't had a drink yet, and your face. I texted him. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, by
you're
the way,
in for it.
I came in for one night. I didn't even really, like, talk that loud, I didn't think. I have no voice. Merles is like, you were sitting next to Stu and Frank the Tank. I'm pretty sure you don't even realize you were just screaming over them.
Right,
the
yeah, right.
Frank's jokes were hit. It's like what we talked about at the Nets game, where he had like a new audience for the first time.
Yes.
He hit him with the, what time is it? It's 6 past Igor.
That was great.
Remember
that?
And he hates the Rangers.
That was great.
Hates them.
But classic Frank the Tank last night, I'm high-fiving him as the Penguins continue to score. And after the game, he's like, I actually bet on the Rangers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But you were high-fiving me as we scored.
Never won a scratch ticket.
No.
That's what he claims.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he claimed it like a year ago, and then we went and bought like 10 of them, and he won $5. We're like, there you go. So he's like, all right, I won a scratch ticket.
So Whit was talking about how like Frankie would kill himself if it meant that it would prevent the Rangers from ever winning a cup. And then Frank the Tank was like, yeah, that's right, I would. And then Whitney was like, wait, I was talking about Frankie Borelli, not you. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, I would do it too. And I was like, what's your middle name? Frank's like, it's Earl.
Yeah.
He's Frankie.
Yeah.
Frank the Tank is also Frankie.
Yes. I was like, PFT, did you know that? He's like, no, randomly that worked out. And then all of a sudden, Tank went into, and also, my middle name is Earl.
Earl,
like, the
yes.
show, my name is Earl. I was like, what is going on right now?
Yes, yes, yes. He's one in a billion. We got a couple of those guys running around. All right, so who's your pick before the playoffs?
The Lightning. I said I won't pick against them until they don't win.
That's smart.
So I'm not changing. I'm on the Lightning. I'm on the Lightning, but I'm going to be very surprised if the Avs don't win the Stanley Cup.
I think the Maple Leafs are going to win this
series. Next series, people are already saying the winner of Blues Minnesota, which is very unfair. They had to play two of the best teams in the league. They play Colorado. A lot of people are saying whoever wins will beat Colorado. I don't see it happening.
I also need Edmonton and Calgary because then I at least have one Canadian team in the Western Conference final.
I need Calgary to lose because I have to get my ear pierced if they go first.
Get a hoop ring.
No, I'm getting a straight Barry Bonds cross earring.
Oh, okay, yeah, that works.
I think I'll be able to pull it off, actually.
Yeah, that works. That actually
Marv from Home Alone with a hanging earring.
That will be sick.
That would be nasty. What about the whole debate that we were having last night about the NHL being rigged? Because I think that you're insane for not thinking. I was telling him, like, what does the NHL want? NHL would prefer to have Caps versus Penguins, one last showdown between Ovi.
Can I give my PSA from last night?
Whitney was saying, there's no chance that any ref could ever get on the horn with the league and be like, oh, call it this
you're,
way.
You're misrepresenting this again. You're disinformation.
This is like after, like 4 years after the Blackhawks were good, they still were on fucking 45 NBC games. You know,
yeah, but
every Sunday.
That's because they're an original six big market. My whole point to everyone, and I took the NBA out of this, so anyone listening, NBA can be rigged. It probably is. When people say that the league wants things to happen and makes things happen, I am not denying the fact the league probably wants Crosby, Ovechkin. And in the NFL, the league wants whatever, Rodgers, Brady, whatever. They're not doing anything. They're not calling referees on the side and saying, hey, man, you got to make sure that the Penguins win. Like, people who say the league is making things happen in these games are out of their fucking minds. They have holes in their pants.
Here's what I always say to it. Like, it's fun to do, and it's fun to talk about rigged and conspiracies, right? But anyone who actually believes it, do you know how many people would have to be involved and how many people would not be able to say anything?
It's
crazy.
It's
it wouldn't
the dumbest
be like
sports
one
take in the world from fans.
But it's a little bit like you can affect the outcome of a series without affecting
how?
Directly the outcome. Because, like, for instance, if it were the NBA, you say, okay, we need to call the game a little bit tighter. We watched the film from the refereeing in the last game, and there was a lot of hand-checking going on. So we need to make sure that that's going to be a point of emphasis in this next game, which then indirectly affects the team that you want to win. I think that happens naturally in a lot of sports.
I did not include the NBA. The NBA is rigged. Tim Donaghy, that story went under the rug so quick.
Yeah, I don't think the commissioner is saying that.
It's crazy.
There's
it's
no
crazy
way.
Talk. It's crazy.
Because they would have to say
this
it.
Is for macro dosing.
See, this is not. There's no way they're actually saying like there are refs that call games bad, like poorly, or like it will affect the game. But I don't think a commissioner is like, hey, we need to. It's a joke. It's
crazy.
It's a fun joke to believe in.
But I think some people believe it, like that guy.
Yeah.
I think that it's more likely than you think it is. Because all it would take would be like one director officiating or one official that's like the go-to hatchet guy for the league. Kinda
that's
like
willing to
Scott
throw
Foster
his entire career
NBA.
Away.
Not only the entire career, the entire league.
Yeah,
literally the league would cease to exist if they were like, the actual league offices is dictating who wins.
But there are Rangers fans who are probably like, the league wants Crosby to win. It's like people are absolutely out of their mind to think that.
You don't think that an official has ever been told?
No.
By like his boss who's reviewing the tape, right? Maybe there were a couple penalties that didn't get called the game before, and those were actual missed calls. You don't think that an official could be like, this next game, we need to make sure that we call it tight and that we make sure that we don't allow guys to like hold Crosby through the neutral zone or something like that because we missed a couple of those calls last time, knowing that the end result would be it's more than likely that Crosby would then advance the next round and then more ratings on television.
I'm not going to say they might not at times be like, hey, you're missing a lot of holds. I don't think they're bringing up, like, Crosby didn't get any. Like, last year in the four games, the Oilers got swept. Connor McDavid didn't draw one penalty. He's the best player in the game. If it would have ever happened, it would have been last year. It would have been, like, maybe game four, call a penalty on McDavid, and it still didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I am not in the camp of the leagues making calls to officials who then calling referees to be like, hey, guys, we got to make sure Pittsburgh wins this game.
Also, I agree with that entirely. I'm not saying that it's that blatant or that obvious. I'd just say that there are ways that it can happen where you protect the superstars.
I think protecting the superstars happens on its own. I think that's just a general referee bias that happens in all sports, that you're going to call a Tom Brady differently than you call Mike Glennon. Like, that's just human bias.
Exactly.
I don't think there's anything rigged about that. It's just like, why does LeBron never fall out? Or like, why, you know, like, because it's LeBron, and they call it a little bit differently. Like, they will give – we always talk about, like, oh, an MVP gets certain calls that everyone else doesn't get. I think that's absolutely true. But I don't think it's like a specific, hey, we got to make sure this happens for the league.
Perfectly said.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Do you have any questions, Billy, for Whitney? Wow.
No.
Are you fucking with us right now?
Are you serious? You didn't come with one question?
Oh my God, is this a joke?
Billy.
No, it's not a joke.
Billy's choking right now.
Jesus Christ.
This is tough to watch.
Hey guys, sweet interview.
How are you enjoying your Saturday?
How am I enjoying my Saturday?
It's fucking Tuesday, bro.
What?
Holy shit, is he on meth?
Billy, what was that?
How are you enjoying your Saturday?
I was totally unprepared for this.
Billy's just choking. Just talk to him like a person.
Okay, yeah. I actually have another piece of evidence that there may be bias in certain sporting events.
What?
The scoring on the Canelo Bovall fight.
Totally, boxing is a totally different
boxing
thing.
If you say boxing is rigged, I completely agree with you.
Me too. Yeah.
That is a totally different situation. Yeah,
like that's
it's such a nice Saturday though right now.
Yeah,
it's
such a nice
Saturday.
Why are we working weekends?
Boxing, why are we here, guys?
Billy, boxing. I've just been in Vegas for a week
and I finally like been feeling a little regular.
But Billy, boxing is 100% rigged.
Yeah,
I even said it on the broadcast. I was like, I'm gonna try to score this. How I think they are, because I know they're going to give everything to Canelo that's 50-50, and they did. Yeah,
that is a huge hole in Billy's pants.
You're trying to score it like they're professionals. You don't know how to score a fight.
No, I was just saying who won the round. Like, I was just going along with them doing who won the round, and I was saying every 50-50 round I would give to Canelo just because I figure that's what they're doing. They ended up 115-113. The best I got to was 116-112. And I was doing everything
Canelo got busted on that.
Yeah, no, he should have. No, no, he it was very close. If Canelo didn't, if Bivol didn't win the 12th round, it would have been a draw, which is a joke. They're so rigged. They were basically giving everything they could.
Because Bivol won that fight no matter what.
Easily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two-pieced him.
Like, yeah.
It was insane.
Probably because fucking you were there and you fired him up so much. He's like, I got to win so I never see this kid again. Saturday night, though.
Yeah, what are you up to tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm watching football because it's November, right?
Going to church? How many rounds of golf are you playing this summer? Is your elbow okay?
My elbow's great. I had surgery.
I love golf guys who are like, got to go get surgery so I can just
I did every possible thing to not get surgery. I did PRP. I did physical therapy. I didn't play golf for three months.
You didn't play for 3 months? Was it driving you crazy?
Yeah, and then I came back and was still injured, and then I got another MRI. The guy's like, sorry to break. I was like, the fact that I'm getting fucking surgery for golf.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it's very
funny.
What the
fuck, dude?
Have you got the surgery yet?
Yeah, I had it in November.
Have you tried peptides?
I did those post-surgery.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I think they actually helped the recovery a lot.
You could have maybe done that before
I was getting
surgery.
I was getting what are they called? IVs and stuff with all that stuff in there. Listen, getting surgery from like a golf injury is so pathetic. And I remember being done with hockey and all. I had 7 foot and ankle surgeries and wrist surgery. I was like, I'm finally done. And then I had a torn tendon in my elbow. I'm like, this is a joke.
Right.
But now that I'm back, we're really busy till the cup ends. July, August, I'll play 50 times.
And you are, could you ever get, have you played in a pro-am?
I played in the pro-am at a tournament in Boston. It's no longer a tournament with Tony Finau. That was fun. He was a good guy. But those pro-ams are weird. Like, people pay huge money to play with a pro. It's kind of like the pro is getting ready for the tournament. He doesn't want anything to do with you.
Right, right.
So I play in, like, tournaments with my buddies and stuff, but not, like, pro-ams.
What's the best round you've ever golfed?
65.
Wow. I
shot 65 last year.
How many mulligans did you take?
I took 3 breakfast balls, so I guess it was a 72.
How many balls do you take onto course, like knowing that you're going to lose some?
I always have like 5 balls in my bag.
I took 20.
And you lost them all?
All of them. Because I also
had a caddy to go search in the desert.
I'm also don't... like if I hit it, we were playing a scramble, so I'd hit it like in the sand trap, and I just wouldn't go get that.
I actually think that
go get that one.
No, he wouldn't get it either. I was like, my caddy.
You were buying mulligan
cards.
The
caddy would be like, oh, should I get it? I'm like, no, just leave it, dude.
I've never finished a round of golf, now that I think about it.
A lot of people want golf to be 14 holes, they say.
14's exactly right.
Either I quit before it's over or I just lose all my balls.
Or you get blacked out because it's Saturday.
I lose all my balls and then I'm just like, I'll drive the cart, hop in.
14 is right.
14, front seven, back seven. That's what people say they want.
Also, a question about golf etiquette. I was doing this thing. It worked. Every time Elio went to take a putt, I would go and pick up his ball and replace it.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you'd, like, basically mark your ball with a cracker like Happy Gilmore and then eat the cracker and not know where the ball goes.
Like, why are you touching my ball? I'm like, you let me touch your ball. You can stop me.
If anyone's listening, and if anyone's listening, you guys have about 2 million listeners. It's crazy. I don't know why they're over in Asia and far, whatever they have it. Why in America do we not have night golf?
Night golf, and I understand balls.
I understand the cost of, like, the lighting the entire course, but you can get a short, you know, a 4,000-5,000-yard, 18-hole course, so they're all short par fours or par threes, and play golf at night, tee off at 10 o'clock with your buddies. Like, I want to invest in it. Somebody write me on Twitter.
This is the father of two talking right now, because you know.
Yeah, no, because
like,
I'm
you get squeezed out. It's like, just let me play at 9 p.m.
I know.
When the kids are asleep, wife's asleep, everybody's good.
I know. I'm like, but I'll still play at noon and then back at 10 p.m.
I think too many people would just be pissing all over the course at night. It would just be a free-for-all. Like, you get out there at night. Usually
I mean, people piss all over the course during the day, too.
Yeah, usually, but you go to
the
woods.
Billy doesn't even need to pull his pants down. He goes right through the hole in his pants.
Night golf is great. I love night golf. Like,
it's awesome.
Just going to Top Golf in general at night, where you get to see the ball, like, flying against the night sky.
Well, speaking of that, is Brandon Walker's video fake?
No, it's real.
So why did it come out that...
Oh, we edited the fake one. We made it look fake.
Oh, okay. So that was real. Yeah, that dude can pound it.
He can pound it,
but at night it does look different.
Yeah, he said he has no other game, though. Like, he said he can just crush it off the tee.
Oh, yeah, he's a big moron. Imagine him trying to chip a ball. I love Brandon.
Why don't they do, like, nighttime golf tournaments? Like, why doesn't the PGA Tour have a nighttime event?
They did the Tiger. Remember the Tiger Phil, like, in, like, 06 or something?
Phil had lost $30 million the night before in Vegas.
Yeah.
Talk about a fucking fall from the graces, huh? Jesus Christ.
Did they say, like, $50 million in 2 years or
40 million in 4 years, they said.
It's still
it can happen.
And that Billy Walters, that legendary gambler, is coming out with a book, and I think that some of the Phil stories are going to be ugly
for him.
Let's
not shame people who lose.
No, also,
yeah, I mean, big deal.
You have to judge it compared to his earnings, too. Right. Like, Phil Mickelson, he could afford to lose $40 million.
It can happen to anyone.
I don't know if anyone can. Who lost $40 million in this room? Big Cat?
No, I didn't lose 40, but, like, comparatively speaking, you can lose a lot.
Oh, yeah, I've lost a lot.
Yeah.
But I haven't lost.
A lot.
By the way, I don't know if you caught, but the way that Big Cat said, I don't know if I've lost 40, definitely implies that he's lost at least one.
Oh, dude, sometimes I think about it, like, if I ever wrote a book, I could sell books just by actually sitting down and, like, doing the math and trying to calculate my career losses.
Your wife immediately divorces you.
Yeah, I never want to think about it. Well, I told you the story when I lost 6,000 to Elio on the golf course. She's like, you lost 6,000? And I was like, yeah, but I could have lost 10 if I didn't hit two awesome putts. So really, I'm up 4. And she's like, that's not how it works. I'm like, that's exactly how it works.
That's how gamblers do it.
All right, Whit, thank you. You're the best.
Anytime, boys.
We're going to need you back on before the cup.
Yeah, cup. Maybe me and Biz will come in there together.
Yes.
During the cup.
That would be great.
We did that. That feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah, remember I know.
That?
We need to have both of you. Let's do 2 hours.
Yeah, I love it, boys. I love it. I appreciate it. And all you guys, keep crushing it.
How come you never invite RA?
What do you mean?
You never invite RA.
You guys never invite RA. How am I going to invite someone to your show, you dummy?
That's also true.
All right, he's invited.
All right, peace.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Okay, let's wrap up. We got some FAQs. Henry?
Yes.
Do it.
Hey, Thick Cat, Fighter Pilot, PFT, King Honk, Dip Guy, Jake, and Camp Edge 275, Billy.
Nope, that's not what that person... No, Billy, cut Billy's mic.
Billy, you had 0 pounds last Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
What did you all want to do as a career prior to Barstool, and what led you into podcasting?
I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah, I mean, you go back far enough, like baseball player. I think that was my first... I think I wanted to be a baseball player when I was like 6. I went for Halloween as just like a kid with a bat for 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
I got really into selling used dogs for a while in Austin. That was kind of my thing.
I really just didn't know what I wanted to do, and I did, you know, everyone gets to that point in like their late 20s where they're like, all right, what am I going to do? Is this going to be my career? So, yeah, I mean, it's, I didn't really have, I wouldn't say I had many dreams outside of anything. I like, I thought maybe I'd go to law school. Then I was like, I'm not smart enough. Thought maybe I'd go to business school. I took a GMAT class and I just spent the entire time gambling in the back row.
Yeah. In college, they gave me one of those placement tests because I was a junior and I was still undeclared for my major because I didn't know what I wanted to do at all.
The Rex Ryan?
Yeah, the one that he scored, what was it, a state record in the history of Maryland for problem solving? No, they were just like, okay, fill out all these questions. And then I had the widest variety of possible jobs that I could be in. And so I was like, this made me more confused about what I want to do.
And you, like,
I just wanted to get a degree, and then I'm like, I'll figure it out afterwards. And then I think for a while I wanted to be a comedy writer, and I started doing a little bit of that. You lose track of time. When you work with a team, sometimes it's hard to get everybody on the same schedule. Then I think a lot of people just throw up their hands and they get an office job, and they're like, okay, I guess I need to make money.
Right.
Which is what,
that's what I did.
Yep.
Yeah, and so then I was, you know.
That's what Hank did.
Yeah, Hank, yeah. Big office Hank. And then, you know, one thing leads to another, and sometimes you find your way back to the thing that you love to do.
Billy still wants to be a finance bro deep down.
No, my OG list was NFL player, number one. If that didn't work out, Navy SEAL, number two.
And then, wait, just so everyone knows, you'd still give it all up to be a Navy SEAL.
Yes.
Which you can, right now.
Then I think...
he probably went past the background check. He's been hanging out with Russians for too long.
No, but number...
yeah, that's true.
No, but number three was then Army Ranger, if I couldn't be a Navy SEAL. And then I think I didn't have any plans under number four.
Yeah.
Great job shutting Pivel down for that question. That was very discreet of
you. Yeah, so discreet.
Anyway, but like realistically, anyway, before the pandemic,
I wasn't even asking about Putin. I was like,
shut up.
I was
before
like,
the pandemic.
I was like, who texted him after the game?
Shut up. Before
shut
the
up, pa- shut up, shut up.
And Billy was like, stop. Don't make him say Putin. Up, I was like, Putin, I wasn't asking
number
about
four,
Putin.
I mean, realistically, before the pandemic, I was on track to be in real estate finance, probably a mortgage broker.
You're on track?
I was.
Oh, my God.
And then I literally, then I was just like, pandemic hit. I was like, fuck it.
I would love to just see a different sliding doors, sitting down trying to make the biggest purchases of your life, and Billy Football is sitting across from your table, the table being like, all right, here's what we can get you into.
Billy's like,
you're fixed.
Billy's like, listen, I know that this school or this home that you're looking at is really close to the school that you want your kids to go to. I know it checks off everything that you need, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, but I found this other sick one that's got a chicken coop.
Yeah.
I was actually more packaging multifamily.
Yeah, Billy would have been the perfect guy to help bring the entire world to its knees in 2008 with subprime. He would have definitely been like, I'm just fucking rolling
it. I'm killing it.
The
Billy
Bubble.
The
times will never stop. Dude, I got 6 houses, and I don't even pay a dollar on it.
Dude, you, like, low
you
key,
were working during that, key, right? I was actually watching a movie about that the other day.
Low key, you don't even need a job to get this loan.
Bro, all you need to do is just have a credit card, and you can get a $6 million house.
I'm finishing up my senior year at the University of Oklahoma, so I'm about to graduate, pretty nervous for the upcoming year. Wanted to ask you guys, what's one best piece of advice you could give to someone graduating college?
Billy? I think we've talked.
Start with Billy.
Yeah, we start with Billy.
Make sure you graduate.
Yep,
that's
good.
Number one.
I think we talked about this on Life, one of the Life episodes, but I'm a big proponent, before you graduate, go take a road trip with all your boys. Just hop in the car, doesn't matter where. But you will always remember that. Like, go pick a weekend, just go anywhere, and you'll have a fucking awesome time, and you'll remember it forever.
My best advice would be, you're going to be in the same class as a lot of people that go on to do, like, what seem like really impressive things within the first couple years after graduating. Maybe they get a job in a sector that pays them a lot of money. Don't compare yourself to them. You're going to feel like you have to compare yourself to them. Mm-hmm. Be like, why is my career not necessarily at the same level as this person's? That person just found themselves in a different situation. It doesn't mean anything for the course of your life. Like, what you do in your 20s can be ultimately inconsequential to what happens for the rest of your life. So don't like rush into being an adult too quick.
Like, for instance, when Billy becomes a Navy SEAL at 33, he'll be like, it doesn't matter that I podcasted through my 20s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Billy, why did you have Navy SEALs ahead of Army Rangers?
Because I was a really good swimmer.
Ah.
Okay.
I'm a very good swimmer.
Still.
Like, I was in middle school, I was sick of swimming, but then I got bored because basketball was cooler in high school. And I was like, I want to play basketball.
Right.
Okay. I want to just be running around in bathing suits with a bunch of dudes.
But right. But you'd be doing that a lot in the Navy SEALs.
They're not in Speedos, though.
Can we figure out a way to get Billy to go to, like, Bud's training for a week? That would be an incredible video.
Chef Donnie did it.
Yeah. Like, let's have you do it.
I think that there's, like, a decent chance that Billy would die.
I want to see him drown. No, actually, that's the part where they make you drown and then revive you.
I can hold my breath for 50 yards in a pool.
It'd be great if then, like, glass shatters, they bring Billy out to revive him, and then me and PFT show up, and we just grab everyone off of him. Like, let him die.
This is how he wanted to go out.
A Navy SEAL.
Press
F to pay respects.
I'm going to give memes a C- for picking some of these questions. Very, very basic. This one, though. Sup, Dad of 2Cat, PF3 Chi, Handsome Hank, Best in the Office, Jake, and Billy Feetball. What are the plans for the show when Big Cat moves to Chicago?
Oh, good question.
Oh.
I'm going to quit. So part of my take is, I think, what, 8 months from now?
Yeah. No, I'm not moving for another year.
Yeah, but that's, you have 1 year.
8 to 12 months.
You have 1 year to listen to the show.
It's all over.
And then everyone's leaving, and Big Cat's also going to quit during the show.
Yes, I'm actually going to become a Navy SEAL.
So the show's going to end.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to... Yeah, I'm gonna. I would say just a trust. Rocket scientist.
Everything will work out.
Yeah,
trust.
We don't know exactly.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
The times and the locations and when things are going to happen. That's still kind of up in the air right now. But I can tell you that part of my take will continue.
Yes, don't worry about it.
This is why you make sure you graduate. That was a joke.
Okay.
I'm missing the joke.
Yeah, what's the joke?
Because we're quitting and he's gonna need to find a job.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what?
Got it. Oh, so we had already moved on to saying, "Don't worry, guys, we're still gonna do it."
It was
the
a
joke.
Would
have,
Billy,
when we were doing.
Fortunately, he's got an education he can fall back on. Part of my take will continue.
We're gonna be fine.
There's a.
I
will,
love you, Billy.
I will say, like, there's a pretty good chance I'm gonna move to Chicago.
Yeah, but there's
nothing set in stone.
Right,
but.
And there's no pressure. It will always be a priority for me and for PFT and for everyone in this room. So no matter what, we'll figure it out and we'll be okay. And we'll be okay because we're very proud people about our content. So we'll never do anything that will make that suffer. I think that would be the best answer. Don't you worry.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
And just the verbal meme. It's all the AWLs sleeping at night and it's Billy getting all the knives in his back,
mm-hmm.
taking it for you. Just remember. While you're sleeping, Billy's out doing God knows what to my Uber rating.
Yeah, remember when Billy got kicked off Uber? So when you, yeah, that's,
couldn't be me.
Billy,
the,
it wasn't.
Here's,
a,
here's
Billy
the thing a, about Billy is that, like, even when he's trying to make a joke about something, yeah. he's literally telling on himself
yes.
for doing something
yes.
bad.
When
in the
did
past.
I get kicked
you
off
got,
Uber?
You got suspended yes. from Uber for like a year. Oh, no, that was Hank.
Hank it was
my
Hank.
Bad, that was Hank. Sorry,
but
Hank.
Billy, you, that no, joke was
you,
a
you
good
just
joke.
Got recode.
That was a good joke, Billy, but it was just. It was like you'd said it after the part where we were joking like, about it being over.
But the timing, I'm working on timing. Like it was, I didn't have a good place to interject. I didn't know where that was going.
Billy's coming off a long weekend right now. He thought
brains.
It was his
yeah,
first
well,
Saturday show.
Oh, yeah, you know, because the Ryan Whitney ending was something else. You should have seen it, Hank.
Let me plug.
I asked Billy to ask a question to Whitney, and he just goes, so how's your Saturday? And we're like, what? It's Tuesday.
No. I should have asked him why hockey players don't play in Canada, like the good ones, that they win. But retrospect. If you want to hear about my time in Vegas, beer and clothing in Las Vegas,
yes.
a blog, the next American blogagey, not blogville, is airing on Barstool Sports. It should be up by the time you hear this. It's a good
airing?
Piece of writing.
Billy, can I just say something for real?
It's the Mexican blogville.
Billy.
Like novel.
I like blogology. Or what
blogology?
Was that?
Yeah.
I'll break yeah. the character real quick. I was very proud of you for like the entire DAZN fight and everything you did. You did great content.
It was
an awesome thing.
I'm just really
sales
appreciate.
People told me Billy was scared to drink and I was so proud.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was in
Our
Vegas for a
no,
week.
No, but yeah, no, we no, you were tested. Like Billy Football was tested and he passed the test and he did a great, great job with all that stuff.
I was gonna suggest putting you on that medication that makes you throw up if you drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Like just
slipping
it
into
your
stuff.
Him,
we should get him that Caleb got that stomach surgery because he had like a bad stomach, not the Rex Ryan stomach surgery, but if Caleb throws up he dies.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that? He could die if he throws up.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That would, if I had that surgery, I would just throw up from the stress.
Yeah.
About thinking about not throwing up.
So we need to get that for Billy.
Okay.
Why?
So then you can't drink to the point of having to throw up.
Wait, well,
we're not going to fucking make you get a surgery you don't need, Billy.
I don't know.
We should make Billy earlier. We should make you get the shin lengthening surgery to get you up to like 6'7".
In Billy's defense, I did also just say that we're going to have him do buds training and kill him. So you're fair to be like, I don't want this surgery.
That's how we would want to go out.
Yeah. All right, numbers.
I'm going to go 17.
8.
22.
Six. It's 17. I'm
going to go 21.
What?
25.
69.
Hear about my
69 is my new number.
Blackjack Hot Street in the next great American blogology.
8.
What is that?
Oh my god. Oh my god. 21!
No fucking way! I'm on the greatest hot streak ever! I'm on the greatest hot streak ever! Holy shit!
21. Rich Strike.
Yeah.
Dude.
Just so you know, Billy, you're not moving to Chicago with us.
I know.
I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
Love you guys.
Hell yeah, Billy. What a hot streak.
Dude, I'm taking this hot streak to Barstool iCasino in Hoboken, Black Rock. We're going to be there on Wednesday night. Green Rock. Black Rock is a real estate company.
Isn't Black Rock the company that like kills people?
No, it's Blackwater. No, that's Blackwater. Black Rock is buying up all the houses.
That's
and
Bill Gates.
People, so
they are
able.
Also killing people.
Yes.
Got it.
Killing middle America.
Allegedly.
I can't believe that was fucking 21.
Yeah, that's
holy
crazy.
Fuck.
Do you have an animal fact, Billy?
Yes. Unspayed ferrets will die if they don't get pregnant.
Love you guys.
Damn.
Bonk. They'll die of stress.
Yeah, that's a big time bonk for ferrets.
Coming for you anyway.